Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Veteran Gamers. How good are you, gay? With it.
Hello, and welcome to show 98 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Yay, 98! Woo!
Hello, with me tonight, I have Chini.
Hello.
And we also have Duke. He's back. Duke.
You'll miss me with effigy.
You'll miss me when I'm gone. And you missed me, baby. That's right. I'm back. What?
That is rather spiffing. I'm impressed. Very good.
Stu, why are you doing a fighter pilot's voice?
Yeah,
good luck with keeping that up.
All will become clear.
Is what she said.
All will become clear.
Oh, no, you didn't.
The end of the show. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right. Okay.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to keep that up.
Prelude no, you aren't.
It's a little bit of a foreshadowing of something, and all will become clear.
Will
become clear, I have to say. So how are we all? How are we all?
I'm all right. I'm tired. It's been a crazy day. We only have a two-day week this week because of Thanksgiving. Thanks, Indians. Suck it. We got all the continent. But
wait a minute.
Good luck with the casinos, though.
Yeah, I hope it works for you. I mean, you know, the whole genocide thing kind of sucks, but... And casinos.
Are you complaining because you've only had to go into work for 2 days this week?
I'm not complaining. I'm saying that even though it's only a two-day week, it's been a hectic Monday. So
you've been to work today?
I have been to work today. I will be at work tomorrow. But then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I see.
Gee, I wonder what I'll be doing during those days. I don't have a soundbite for Skyrim, so I'm going to use Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, that works for everything, to be fair, though. That just covers all issues.
I don't know if there is a definitive sound effect for Skyrim. I mean, what would the sound be? That level up sound is awesome. I wonder if I can find it.
Yeah, I'm sure you...
There's one in Fallout where it goes, cha-ching.
You mean the drum thing? The original level up sound was rather...
What about a dragon call? You know, because, you know, what about a dragon?
That's a good sound too, man. When I hear that, I'm like, oh yeah.
Should we do this pre-show? Really, this isn't really show content, I would say.
Yeah. Well, all right. So wait a minute. I've no story this week. Ginny, have you got a story?
I've got a story time.
I always do a weird dance on that.
Still, you have a story. Quit lying.
That's not strictly true. I have got a little story, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that because it involves playing a game, so it's not quite the same.
So.
So it's a story, but it's not a meaningless, irrelevant story.
Yeah.
Chinny, do you have a meaningless, irrelevant story?
I do. I have one right here.
Awesome.
It wouldn't be the Veteran Gamers without a meaningless point of story at the start.
And is it about your trip to France? Est-ce que tu as mangé des baguettes?
It is. Now, I want to explain this story without sounding like an absolute cock, right? So
it's hard for anybody from the US or Britain, I imagine, to tell a story about France without sounding like an absolute
now,
cock.
Now, I've got nothing against the French, right? But it's just kind of like we got sent to France and we had to film and work and stuff. And, like, you know, we went with a lot of nice cars. Now, that's all glamorous and fine.
And you made a rap video, right?
No, well, that's another part of the story, right? But, like, what's going on is Aston Villa sent us over to cover a new launch of a wine called the Beaujolais wine. And they've donated some to Aston Villa, and then a local artist has painted a label, and it's worth £20,000, the original painting.
Damn.
And and they're going to get auctioned off at Harvey Nicks, and it's all for the Acorns charity, so it's for a good cause. And we was lucky enough to be shipped over, so
cool.
I just want to get that bit out of the way because I'm, you know, it's kind of douchey if I go, I went to France and blah blah blah.
Right, so.
That's the way you feel, diva, like the flaws.
Well, I was traveling in a Range Rover.
We are sounding like a bit of a cock already.
All right, so we went up, and there's like all these lush cars, and basically, there's a lot of clients that Villa have, and they just treating them to this hotel treatment and stuff. And we went up and we was filming, like, Lamborghinis, Maseratis, all this, like, speeding up the motorway. We was in this lush Range Rover. It was great. And So we got there, and then we went to this celebration of this Beaujolais wine, right? And it was in Beaujolais by Lyon, kind of like south east of France. So we went there, and we went to this massive tent, right? Like huge tent, 1,400 people in this tent. And there was like this show on, and let me tell you about the show that Beaujolais put on, because it was kind of like, Stu, the first round of X Factor. You know what I mean? It wasn't quite right, right? Oh, awesome. And they just kept coming. Like, they don't have, like, a comp... Well, they did have some kind of talking, but obviously it was French, so no one cares about that, right? But he was talking and going on, and then they just have singer after... I heard Cock and I Joe 3 times, right? And then it was just bizarre, right? And there's these people, and there's women with guns, and all this coming on, and then... like a kind of burlesque show came out, and it was a little bit raunchy. We filmed a bit of it, and it was, you know, like very attractive ladies come out.
So is that going in your private collection for fapping then?
Well, don't worry. It gets more French because they come out wearing less and less, right? And basically, I've paid for less than that, to be honest, because they was coming out and they was coming out with no tops on. And I was like, fuck, they've got no tops on. What's going on? All the French are loving it. By the way, our coach driver, who we invited in, like, because there's a group of us, and we said, you know, rather than you sitting in the coach, would you like to just come in and you can have a meal and everything? And he was very grateful, and he was sitting opposite us. It was a normal night for him. Yeah, it was a Wednesday night.
Okay. It's all about context, isn't it, though? Because, like, have you been on a beach in Spain? And there's more breasts than you can shake a stick at, isn't there, really? Right? But I bet you don't go on a beach in Spain and go, oh, look at all them boobs, man, that's just wrong, what's going on? No, you do, no, ball, go away, man.
Right, let me finish the story, because you're boring. Right?
Whatever.
So, like, these women come on, right, and they wear less and less and less.
Yeah.
And I'm like, should we film this or whatever? Right, and then a bloke comes on, and I'm like, whoa, here we go. And the only thing between me and him and that thing was a flap. A little tiny thin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was, and it was distracting. And he was, and then these two women come out. Sometimes, I mean, when you're working like filming and stuff, it's so, you're just filming such random things. And then, bear in mind, right? Like, everybody's getting free wine in this place. Like, they're bringing wine by the barrel, right? So everybody's getting more drunk and more drunk. And then, look, these two women come in and they're basically naked. You know, they're pretty much naked at this point.
Right.
Two women, and they're dancing, like, kind of around each other, right? And to be honest, Stu, what they were doing was barely dancing. You and I could do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we were just moving around.
Yeah.
Right? And it was lesbian sex, basically, on the stage. Right, and it was just weird, and you could tell the British table, because they was like, okay, and all the French was like, yeah, she's normal, whatever.
Yeah, where's the wine?
So everybody's in this tent. This show went on, you know, like, just went on, like, and he just kept on going, Cock and Old Joe again, and everybody's wrecked, and then we walk out the tent, right, and apparently we're going on some street march.
Right.
Now, this is where it gets a bit
weird than the man with his wang, I mean.
Really weird. So, when we walk out, they give us a burning torch.
Oh, cool. Whoa. It didn't turn into the Wicker Man.
Like an actual torch?
Is it a Wicker Man?
See, I felt like we went back 500 years. Because there was...
Did you have pitchforks?
Oh, but, like, there was about 3,000 people marching down the street with burning torches, right? And I thought, who are we burning? Is it me? Am I going to die at the end of this? So everybody's wrecked.
We found a witch. May we burn her?
So basically what Beaujolais did was, okay, everybody's drunk. Now it's time to play with fire. Just go out in the street, play with fire. Right. And the funny thing is, there was absolutely no trouble. Nothing.
Well, how could that go wrong, Chinny? I mean, come on.
If that happened in Birmingham...
So negative.
If that happened in Birmingham would be dead, right? There's no chance you'd see that again.
We'd have a different headline this morning.
Shops would be on fire. People were running down the road with tellies.
So we went to this celebration of this wine, and people, like, they had tables full of, like, glasses, and they're just pouring the wine out. bear in mind, I'm completely teetotal, all this is wasted on me. Going to a launch of a wine festival.
Did you actually have just a taste?
No, not at all. God. All right. And bear in mind, all these business guys we're with, they're all millionaires, right? So they're buying us drinks all the time. And he's like, fuck off, you don't drink, fuck off. And I was like,
so what are you drinking? I'll have some more cranberry cheese.
But eventually they got the idea and just bought me whatever. And it's just nuts, right? Just nuts. And then we go back to the tent. And then, you know, disco music's going on, this fat guy's singing something. And then they play Mission Impossible. How the hell am you supposed to dance to Mission Impossible? Like, everybody on the dance floor just stopped. It was just immediately just stopped. I was like, how am I supposed to dance to this? This is ridiculous.
So what you're saying is it was rather ironic.
It was weird.
Do you know who could dance?
He's like sneaking around.
Do you know who could dance to that perfectly? Austin Powers. No problems.
Yeah, so, you know, that happens. And
Just a minute, before you go on, right? Sorry.
That was an accident.
Right, I know you weren't on last week, right? But you're not doing double the soundbites this week. Sorry, man, it's not happening.
Oh, my God. We went there and all that jazz. All right, and that was kind of weird. And then the guys who with the Lamborghini, they was very nice. In fact, everybody was nice. You wouldn't think that they was millionaires, to be honest. They was very humble and fine, normal. And we talked to the guys who own the Lambo, and they own like a luxury car hire service, right? You know, they rent out all these cars to celebrities, and it was a gorgeous Lamborghini. It was beautiful. All right,
as the crew said, the Benz is they partners, the money's on loan, and the cellular number you have reached is out of order.
No idea, right? So so they said to us, hey, lads, do you wanna come down? Like they're in Birmingham. Do you wanna come down and have a chat? We can have a coffee because they were talking about our business and everything. They was asking questions about us. And I was like, oh, we can have a coffee. We'll try and get you some work or whatever.
There
and
you
all
go.
This,
cha-ching.
Right? But and then he says, you can have a spin in the Lambo if you want. All right. And I said, I
didn't offer to let you drive it.
I'll think about it. I'm not sure if I'm busy, to be honest. But the thing that we want to do is Matt and
actually, what you should have said is, you want to spin in the Lambo? Oh, again? Every day, it's another Lambo ride.
Have you got my other Benz?
No, what you could have said was, don't worry, I've got Forza 4 with Connect. I can do just the same thing, mate. I don't really need to do it.
See, at the start of the road trip, right, as we filmed this, I kind of had the idea of lining up all these beautiful cars, and then I put my quarter on the end of it, right? And I lined them all up, and Matt filmed it, and I went, yeah, baby, check it out, 22-inch rims, bitches.
Oh, like, yeah.
That'd be so funny.
So, by the way, the coup reference that I was just making about people who are in flashy videos.
Fuck the videos with the Benzes and the cellular phones, spending hundreds like quarters. The Benzes, they partners, the money's on loan, and the cellular number you have reached is out of order.
Sorry, go ahead.
So basically, Matt and I have this idea, and when Matt has kind of like an idea, Matt's my business partner, by the way, and he kind of has to do it. Usually his ideas are kind of like very like silly or something, but this was brilliant. And I've sent Duke a little YouTube video, so he's going to play that in a sec. And Matt and I, anybody who's a GTA fan will recognise it, but Matt and I will want to make a music video to this. So Duke, if you want to... So that's the GTA theme, and it's in like GTA 1, it's in GTA 3, and I think it makes
an appearance. It's a pretty cool song. Why didn't they use that later?
It makes an appearance in GTA 4 as a ringtone. You can actually make it as a ringtone. So anyway, it's a good song. Just type in GTA theme song in YouTube and you'll find it. And we want to make a rap video to that, all right? So this is patented now. This is recorded, so if you copy me, like, I can sue you. All right, so we want to make a rap video to that, and we're going to make it like with a Lamborghini in the background and some Audi R8 in the background and try and jack somebody out of it. And I was explaining this to this very rich businessman, right? And he said,
expecting him to recoil in horror and just go...
Yeah, he just went, yeah, sounds fine to me, whatever.
Awesome. You have to wonder, what has he heard and thought, no, you're not doing that? Like, he must hear pitches like that all the time. Like,
the thing is, like...
And then I want to have a donkey piss on your Lamborghini.
Awesome.
How would you get that off? That's all I want to know.
he doesn't care, you know. I said to him, like, if we do that, you know, we might get a few views or whatever. We'll give you a place to share it. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, all we do, if they're not being rented out, they're just sitting there. So you might as well do something with them. So
God,
that's my French story. And shout out to Aston Villa for them, because they looked after us and they cheated us with a 5-course meal on the Friday night. Stu, you would have been very, you would have loved it, because they got this young scheme about, like, training chefs up, and they train them up, and it was brilliant.
Oh, that's
so
kind of cool, man. I'm impressed.
Big ups to Aston Villa. Aston Villa look after their staff. So yeah, it was great. That was it.
You see, that living the bloody high life. He'll not be talking to us soon, Duke. He'll just ignore us. He'll be like, if
Brad, I'm afraid I can't make the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've got firing.
See, this is what I do. What I don't want to explain that story and go, oh, what a dick.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that's really cool. Is. Because, Chinny's not going to let that shit change him. He's going to keep it real.
Don't address me directly, please.
Look in my eye. Soon we'll have to go through his agent.
He's going to send a retainer over to the next Eurogamer. I sent my manservant.
I am sending my invoice to you for this appearance on this podcast. Now, so.
Although, do you know what? Right, just talking of supporting characters, I'm reading a famous 5 book to Millie at the moment, right?
Oh, famous for I used to love famous.
Guess what the servant's called in this book?
Stu.
No, Block. That is his name, Block.
Block.
That's Block. Right. And he's deaf, right? And one of the references he makes is, you can say anything you want about him because he can't hear you.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, oh, my God, how bad was Enid Blyton back in the day? That's what happens when you write books in 1940.
It's like upstairs.
It just shows how insensitive we all
were. Oh, there's worse than that, mate, trust me. But I'm not going to tell you any of the others.
I mean, Fawlty Towers is like slightly racist.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But still fucking funny.
Right, anyway, right, my story. You want to hear my story? Okay.
Yes.
We decided.
Has he got naked ladies?
No. Fortunately not, no.
Has he got Lamborghinis?
No, he doesn't.
Has he got GTA themes? No,
they have rich millionaires buying people drinks?
No, none of that shit.
Well,
so it's a boring story.
I know, yeah. Well, anyway, it is quite boring. Because
all right, go ahead.
We decided to clear out the attic at the weekend. You know, chuck away all our shit that we don't want, right?
But
amongst all of that shit,
shouldn't be putting shit up there, Stu.
Amongst all that crap and piles of stuff, right? I found a box with an old PS1 in and all the games. So I was like, ah, cool.
Fine, Final Fantasy VII.
No, I haven't got that shit game. Then good games, you know, that I got when I had it.
Hey!
Anyway, right?
Enough of that.
Tomb Raider. Original Tomb Raider. Works on the PS3. I'm going to give it a go. See what happens, right? Not played this for a long time. You know, great game. Okay. How good was that game back in the... How good was that? Right? So puts it in. Works and everything. Right, first thing, cheats don't work on the PS3. It doesn't work.
That's the first thing you try.
Yeah, of course. Let me unlock all the weapons. That's what I want to do, right? So when... Nothing. I tried them all and it all didn't work. So I was very...
Good. You don't need to be cheating.
But...
What kind of example are you setting for Millie?
Ginny, right? Need to get this right. You Eco, you said was a lot like Tomb Raider, right? And the controls weren't that great on Eco, right? The controls on Eco are like that Lamborghini compared to your Corsa, which is Tomb Raider, right?
Hey, leave my Corsa.
Seriously,
alone.
Right? Oh my God, right? I started playing it. I'm like, was it really this bad? It's like the tank controls were awful, right? You can't turn. It's like, I can't turn. It's like so slow, right? And I was like, oh my God, I don't even remember it being this bad. Oh, that game is really bad when you play it now. And I wish I hadn't done it, because I love that game. And I'd also...
Now you can't look at it with your glorious memory.
Oh my God. And I also, I was playing it and I thought, how the hell did I finish this game? How did I get to the end with this control?
Because you had more patience and fewer other awesome games back in the day.
You're not wrong, you know. And I'm not saying that it isn't, at the time it was made, wasn't a game changer, but, you know, because it did do a lot of cool things in adventure games and made it really, you know, it was long.
You never know. It might be kind of like a game changer. You never know. It might be saying the same thing about Skyrim.
Maybe.
People like, I doubt it.
But it was even like, I'm thinking, I'm sure you, and you can't even use the analog sticks. You can't even use them. You have to use the D.
No, because they didn't have analog sticks when
they had them, but they just weren't. It just didn't work on that.
No, like they added on.
Yeah, it didn't work, and I was just like, oh my God! And the only way you can look, you have to hold in the bumper, and you can then look around, but that's only standing still. You know, there's no other way of looking. So yeah, I was like, oh my God, I can't. Like, this is just mental. What is going on? I'm just like, oh my God. But yeah, he was just, and I'd forgotten that he'd auto aimed as well. I was thinking, how do I aim? Oh, I don't need to, because it just automatically aims at stuff when it runs on like to work. And then you have to do this backflip so that you're still pointing at it. It really wasn't good. It really wasn't good. So I played that for I wasted about half an hour when I could have played Skyrim. And I was like, what the fucking hell am I doing? Excuse the French. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I playing this shit game? Turn it off. Take it out.
Good question.
Oh my god. So
it's not a good idea to play bad games in general, you know, unless there's a really good reason to play bad games. I've said too much.
Yeah, that might be coming up. It's not right. To be fair to it, it isn't at the time. It probably wasn't a bad game, and I know. Well, I played it to the end, so I know it wasn't really. But compared to what we're playing now, it's a bad game. But it's not really a bad game. That's being a bit mean on it. But it sort of is. Because it's just like, compared to what we get now.
Well, but everything has to be measured relatively. I mean, there's no objective standards for what is and is not a good game. It's all relative.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree.
I mean, dude, I bet, well, I mean, I hate to say this, but I expect that in 20 years, if you were to bring someone Modern Warfare 3, they'll go, what is this piece of crap?
Yeah.
I can't imagine how, but I mean, that, you know, if history is any, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't.
There are games from the 1980s that are still good now.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'll still play Galaga, you know what I mean? But it's not this. It doesn't have nearly the same impact as it did.
Yeah, no. Back then. No, I don't disagree with you. And I think if I really put my mind to it, I think I could probably play through it again and probably find some enjoyment in it with some of the puzzles and stuff, you know.
But it would be a lot more pain than it was the first time.
Yeah, but I think I would find it really difficult to get, you know, to get through to the end. You know, I'd find it really hard, I think, to make it all the way through that game. Oh, God. Even thinking about it now. Anyway, that's an aside.
All right, moving on.
What I also played on live, there's a free demo for Saints Row the Third.
Did you finish Amnesia?
Did I bollocks? Oh, no, I've not gone back to that. I've got two Skyrim. I will get back to it eventually. But
you better get back to it.
But there's a free demo for Saints Row the Third. You get the first half an hour of the game. So the first half an hour of the game. And
did you run around naked smacking people with a dildo?
I didn't have a game with no dildo.
Because you get the full game. I obviously spent some time creating a character, but I didn't want to waste too much time because obviously, you know, you're on a timer of half an hour.
Hell no, you can do that for free on Xbox, man.
So I made a character. It was a woman with a mustache and beard. Pink eyebrows, pink hair in rollers, you know, the 50s style hairdo.
I think you need some pics on the website here.
Quite muscular. Yes. It was rather, and put a Cockney male voice on her. So
an average woman from Preston.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was very funny watching this woman with a male voice and a beard and a tash. So that was kind of funny. But I've got to say, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed that game. I thought it was really funny and really cool and just craziness. And yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
The opening of that game completely like blew me away. I just thought it was funny. You know, I just wasn't expecting what I got. I mean, it just does all this crazy stuff. Even in the first half an hour, you do so much crazy shit and you're like, oh my God, what the hell is it going to throw at me next? It's just the most crazy game ever. And it completely takes the piss out of Point Break. And even got...
Point Break?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a mask. The Dead Press.
I would have thought it would take the piss out of GTA 4.
Well,
it's going after
it does
Point
a bit
Break.
Of both.
That's a little easier
target
there.
It does a bit of both. So it does a bit of both of that.
Take that, Mary Poppins.
Yeah. the Dead Ex-Presidents or whatever it is. You know what I mean? They are so funny. And it's just kind of the aiming works fairly well. I was quite surprised at how well the shooting felt, and it was just good fun. It was just completely crazy, stupid fun. And you know, I don't want to give too many spoilers because the opening is just so funny. You know, you've got to see it for yourself.
This fun, is it not going to get the thing I'm worried about is that it might get old after, you know, 2 hours or so. Not that the other Saints Row games have gotten old, but I worry that there's just so much crazy weirdness that
I don't think it will, because
I hope not.
I mean, although it's not much of a story, it's focused enough that it gives you something to keep you hooked in, I think. I think there'll be enough hooking you back in to keep you going throughout the game, you know, and I think it'll just keep throwing even more crazy stuff at you, you know, all the time. I think it'll just keep on escalating into the craziness that you're going to get.
I hope you're right. And I don't want to get hate mail from the Play Vault people.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you're talking about supporters. I got very vexed listening to a podcast that shall remain nameless about giving away spoilers without even doing a spoiler warning or anything.
That's wrong.
And I'm like,
Experience Points just did a rundown of Uncharted 3, but as soon as they gave their spoiler warning, I was like, that's it. I'm done listening.
Yeah, well, that was the game.
I don't really care about that story, but...
That was the game, though. And,
oh, yeah.
It's just annoying.
That is annoying. Come on, people, give some warnings. Come up with some warning sounds.
Warning! Warning! Warning!
But yeah, so I've got it anyway. I've sent back two games to... Because, right, I've obviously my PS3 is goosed, and I've lost all my save files. So Warhammer...
Really? We haven't heard anything about
it. So Warhammer had to go back because I thought, well, I can't be bothered starting it because I played it for about 6 hours. I'm like, I can't be bothered starting that again. And the other thing I had was that stupid Kinect thing, whatever that was called. I can't even remember what it was called now, that horror game.
It was downloading Disney Universe when I went to bed.
Anyway, so I sent both of them back. And the only things I've got on now is Assassin's Creed Revelations, Dead Island, I put on there because I thought, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. I'm gonna... Saints Row the Third, Zelda, Skyward Sword, and I can't remember what the other thing was. There was one of the Lego Harry Potter 5-7, so that's on there as well. So I'm going to get something, two games out of one, anyway, I'll see what comes. I'm hoping for Assassin's Creed because I want to give that a whirl. And I would like Saints Row the Third. If I had to choose which two I get, I mean, those are the two that I'd go for. But we'll see what comes. And then apart from that, the rest of my week has, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, been taken up with Skyrim, got to say. Yeah. Lots of...
Finding the right way around this map can be pretty hard because he's fucked on crack.
So, I have no idea what that...
That's one of the lyrics from that GTA thing.
What's that? What is that? I was going to say, what's that?
I prefer this other song better.
My PS3 was dead. My PS3 was... It was down.
I'll tell you what, Ryan. I just thought of a fantastic idea for a video and you let's play it there. Should I say it? Should I expose all about it? Right. You know those kind of shitty album adverts where you just scroll in text of like, yeah, all your hit classics, like, and then we just do a veteran game.
PS3 is dead. PS3 yeah. Sucks. PS3 is horrible.
If order now and you'll get your free Chad Warden T-shirt.
That would be awesome.
A PS triple. I ain't talking about that week.
That'd be awesome.
Of that video to be made now.
So, yeah. So what I thought we'd do, seeing as I've... Obviously, I'll talk some Skyrim, but I thought we'd talk some Skyrim together rather than me just, you know,
Skyrim,
me being a monologue again like last week. So, do you know what? I'm going to have that as my text message tone. I'm going to do.
It's a good sound.
Epic text message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoo. You have a Texas.
So, Duke, as you weren't here last week, let's move on to you, and then we'll come to Skyrim at the end and sort of talk together about that.
All right. I'm sorry I can't remember who told me to play it, but I got a message from someone recently. I think it might have been on the Veteran Gamers forum, so I'll check and see if I can find the person. But they said there's a game that's worse than Killer's Dream.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and I was like, what? But you know what? It comes pretty close, actually. So the message is called... the game is called Get to School on Time. That's what it's called. I know.
Well, you'll understand this. You'll understand this. You teach her and all that stuff.
No. Because it's not to do with school.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why they called it that. The game is like if Andy Warhol took mushrooms and decided that his work was too coherent and he's going to make a video game that exposes the true nature of his weird, disconnected mind. But then along the way, he got carjacked by somebody who wanted to terrorize him into making like a completely meaningless, weird, weird platformer.
The title of the game.
I'll describe the first scene. The first scene... there's all these weird flashing things and then like just text on the screen for no reason and it like doesn't say anything. The name of the game, first of all, when the person recommended it to me, I tried to find it, but I couldn't find it because it's not called Get to School on Time. It's RE: Get to School on Time. Like it's in a note or something. I don't know why, but that makes it hard to find. So if you want to play this stupid game, first of all, don't. But if you want to, you have to look under RE: Get to School on Time. The first level there's like a picture of a guy, and then you have this very, very rudimentary drawing system. Like, you remember that part in the Duke Nukem demo where you could draw on the whiteboard?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, imagine if that were done by an indie developer. That's the whole level. And it says, draw this guy while people are making rude comments. And there's like these two other people on the screen, and they're like, you suck. Don't bother. You can't do it. Blah. It's just
so
stupid.
School days.
Yeah, yeah, it does sound like a school thing now, doesn't it? Now,
so it's just so weird, and it apparently doesn't matter how you do on that. Like after a certain amount of time, it'll be okay. Time for level two, and then level two is this really stupid platformer. You can't control how long you jump, and it's just so weird and horrible. Now, I don't think it's worse than A Killer's Dream, and here's why. A Killer's Dream is not even funny. It's you know, some game, this game where you get to school on time is so bad it's funny. Like, I was laughing while I was playing. Like, what the hell is this crap? But with The Killer's Dream, even Chinny, when you played it, you know what it's like. It's like, oh, what the hell
it's
is this
depressing.
Crap?
It's not funny.
Yeah, so you're going to say the same thing, but the way you say it is so very different. So I would say this is the second worst indie game of all time.
The name of the...
Why are you closing the door, Duchess? What, am I yelling too much? I have to tell how I feel about this.
The name of the
oh, I've missed you,
game.
Man. I missed you.
I have an inside voice. Sorry, Chinny, go ahead.
The name of the game kind of makes me think that he's copied and pasted the subject of an email.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah. In the game, when it first starts up, get to school on time, get to school on time, it keeps saying that over and over, and the words appear on the screen. But time is spelled wrong. Get to school on TME. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Couldn't even spell it out.
That's so ridiculous.
But he's not even like he's so anyway, a play whatever. On words, though, is he? He's not like...
No, it's not. It's not a play on
that's
anything.
Just
it's a play on my... It's a play on several precious minutes of my life. All right. Exotic. Did y'all see this demo?
No, I saw it, but I've not been on my... this week. Well, I've not been on at all.
Here, what did I write in my notes? It's pretty, but it's annoying. Doom meets Flower.
Yeah, sounds my kind of game. I might download
it. Well, you might like it. It's a shooter, and you're sort of it's like if Flower, seriously, if Flower took place in a Doom dungeon. Like it's underground, and it's all weird psychedelic colors, and you're shooting at these red pods, and then it turns into flowers, and then you get level ups, and then you're supposed to jump, but it doesn't show you how to jump.
To go with it, though.
No, I don't remember there being any cool music. I mean, it looks pretty, so you might like it for the aesthetic details, but.
See.
I don't really recommend people waste their time with it. I do recommend that people waste their time with Fusion Genesis, though. This is a top-down 2D space shooter.
Yeah, it's twin stick, isn't it? It's like a twin stick shooter.
It is, but it's really an RPG more than it is a twin stick shooter. Because, I mean, the gameplay does involve a lot of twin stick elements, but it's if anybody ever played the Macintosh game, I don't think they ever made a Windows version, but I could be wrong. But there's a game called Escape Velocity. Any of y'all ever play it?
No, I don't think
nope.
I did.
Well, Escape Velocity was a great game. It wasn't really about combat, but it sort of was. It was sort of when Mac graphics first started to get at all decent. And this game is a lot like it. It's an RPG with spaceships. It's kind of amusing. Like, you start off working for this guy who is like a researcher, and he's describing, you know, his research, and then he gets like halfway into the description of what he's doing, and he goes, oh wait, but you wouldn't understand any of that, you're just a spaceship pilot. So he's definitely got this sort of haughty attitude of like, try not to crash my ship into the rocks up there, because, you know, it's very valuable and blah blah blah. The graphics are really good. There's a lot of game there. It's 800 points. And there's a lot of game. Like, it's got, you can join one of six different factions, and then, you know, depending on how you want to go out and make a name for yourself in the universe, you can join up with the, you know, mercenaries and shoot everybody, or you can be part of the Galactic Empire. I don't remember what the names are, but, you know, the basic idea is that they're trying to keep order in the universe. And then there's a group of people who are just trying to make money by doing trades of commodities. And you can choose to do any of those. And, yeah, it looks like there's a lot of stuff there. I might buy it when it's on sale. I mean, 800 is...
Well, to be fair, have you got even time to play it seriously?
Well, that's the thing. There's no reason for me to buy it right now because I don't have time. So.
Before you get on to the next game, actually, I'd like to issue an apology for my analogy regarding cakes and turds last week. You know, looking back on it, maybe not the best analogy, but... I have got a different one that involves Kate, which is probably a better one, to be honest.
And is this dissing on Modern Warfare
possibly
again?
But, right, okay, here's the thing, right. Years and years ago, I went to the Dominican Republic on a holiday. Okay. And they had this really posh...
You know what,
now he's having a go at the Dominican Republic.
You know why you went? Because you do all right. Yeah.
They had this really, really posh restaurant in the hotel. Yeah, right. And every night... Listen, you don't let me get to the analogy, right? And they used to have this really posh restaurant. And they used to have this huge sweet trolley, right? With all these different types of gattos on. So there were chocolate gattos and things that looked like lemon gattos. And there were things that looked like, you know, all these exotic gattos, right? And every night, right, we go, oh, that looks like chocolate fudge cake. How good is that going to be, right? But unfortunately, every cake tasted of coconut. It didn't matter which cake you chose. They all tasted exactly the same, right? Because he put coconut. And that is more like Call of Duty, right? They all look different, and they all look good.
No, they don't.
In essence,
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare
all the same.
Any different
they're all
Warfare
the same.
2.
They're all the same. No, I'm sorry.
1-0 the Duke.
Yeah,
they all
well,
look good.
You know,
Stu, if you said they all look good,
yeah,
but they all taste the same, then that's a better way.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Look, they all look good,
of course.
But they're all basically the same.
Yes. Of course, Modern Warfare 3 is the same exact game as Modern Warfare 2. The only difference is now the guns are leveled up and you have extra perks on your weapons. You can choose kick or hunt the person or I don't even remember what all they're called. Two attachments. I do like the fact that I can have two attachments but not have to sacrifice the quick reload time. That's really good. Modern Warfare 3 is awesome. I'm loving it. So I was mad because they took out the M16s with stopping power. Ah. And that meant... that the M16 was just as powerful as the SCAR, so there's no reason to use the M16.
That's different now. You've changed your mind. I've changed my mind because
they also put in the Type 95 gun, and the Type 95 is much more powerful than the SCAR, so it's okay to use it because you can drop a person with one shot, or one round, I should say. So I'm happy again. And you remember that thing I put on the website about Modern Warfare 3 doesn't have stopping power, so it sucks? I take it back.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So
I'm very, very happy about it.
You see, that knee-jerk reactions, you see?
Well,
it was.
Well,
come on, be honest. It was
knee-jerk.
Well, but here's the question then. Why did they put in the M16 at all?
No, how am I supposed to? I don't even care.
Well, I'm just saying. That's why I don't think it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's still stupid for them to have the M16 in there without stopping power. Yeah. It should be much more powerful.
If they didn't have it, people would complain.
Well, I don't know why people are complaining about this.
It's a major gun. You can't just take out
it. Right, and I'm saying, like, it was a great gun back when it was more powerful. Now that it's just as powerful as the SCAR, there is absolutely no reason to use it. I don't know why anybody would use the M16. If somebody can explain to me why, let me know. Write in. Tell me. I want to know. Because right now I think it's just stupid.
And you're not using it, so what do you care?
I don't get on with the M16 either. Like, I'm completely agreeing with what you say. Like, I just swap my guns around all the time. So I get about 150 kills with each gun, and then I swap it. And, like, the M16 was hard work, man. I was finding it tough.
I mean, the reason, Stu, that I care is that the M16, in addition to being, you know, used to be a great gun, and I got used to it, but that's okay because we have the Type 95. The Type 95 doesn't get unlocked until level 32, so I have to struggle with SCAR.
Oh, okay, let me put it to you this way, right? Okay, you're a pretty good, you know, as far as I know, but I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming you're a pretty good player on the old
Modern Warfare 2. I tend to have about 1 kill ratio.
Yeah, right? But... What would happen, right? And you're pretty good with the M16 with stopping power, yeah? What happens when you get some shit-hot player using the same weapon and going around just killing everybody? Do you not think it unbalances the game a little bit then?
No, because he has to be really, really accurate with it. That's the thing. You're right that there should not be a gun that is both incredibly powerful and really accurate and has, you know, amazing rapid fire. But that's the thing. The M16 does not have rapid fire, and I'm okay with that. Which is why if I aim at a person and I only hit them with one of those bullets out of the three burst, I'm okay with him not dying. And he usually will then get me because I missed. If I miss, then that's on me. And I've chosen a gun that you have to be really precise with. I've chosen precision over spray and pray. I used to be all about spray and pray. When I played Call of Duty 4, I was all about machine guns. And I did nothing but lug around the machine gun, and I couldn't move very quickly. But over time, I've come to realize that I prefer precision.
Yeah, so I guess, but then like I still come back to the same argument. If somebody who is really good at that game has that gun, then it becomes unbalanced, and it makes it more difficult for everybody else.
Not against me, because I'll just get my scar and I'll sneak up behind him and stab him.
I'm just saying.
He ain't going to kill me.
I'm just saying. Oh, wait, but they're trying to balance it, aren't they, all the time? They're trying to make it a balanced experience for everyone.
I mean, like, the guns are powerful, and no one man should have all that power.
I meant to find that and isolate it. I don't want to have to look around on the YouTube clip over and over again.
That is.
Anyway, I'm loving Modern Warfare 3. I haven't touched the single player yet, but I hear good things about it, so I'm sure at some point I hear it's okay.
Stuff and the bands and everything. Everything goes bang, and like you shoot things, and then more things go bang.
Which reminds me, although it doesn't apply to anything that modern, really, which is a bit weird. But there's a guy called Toby Smith on 5 Squids, right? Which is some like website where you can advertise stuff for £5, I assume, right? And his advert is, "I will take bullets for you for half an hour for £5, right?"
What?
So he says,
"Not real.
I
bullets.
Will be your personal online bodyguard for 30 minutes in any of the following shooters." On Xbox 360, Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty Black Ops, Halo Reach, Battlefield 1943, and Battlefield Bad Company 2. I will be at your side the entire time and will fight for you, keeping enemies away from you, protecting you while you snipe, even sacrificing my life to save yours. This is half an hour of game time, meaning time taken to join a game won't be included. So there you go.
Oh my God.
So if you want to...
So he's basically a whore.
Yeah, pretty much he's selling his like body.
Yeah, it's a clever idea. Why not? There's no victim.
Yeah, but why would someone do that?
I have no idea.
So they got a buddy.
I love the fact it says expected delivery 3 days. Order now.
Yeah. I love it. So, like, you know, like, oh, I'm very crap at Modern Warfare. I wish somebody would come along and stick with me and help me out. Especially in Battlefield, dude.
Yeah. Especially in all those bloody goose servers now on Modern Warfare. Yeah.
So what? If he gets like 10 people, he gets like £50. Why not?
Yeah. See? Enterprising. Good way of making money. Just for, it was a bit of an aside, but it made me chuckle when I saw it.
There's now a victim. He's probably got a pimp.
I'm going to sell myself out.
Hey, baby.
So, Duke.
Hey, baby, you're not paying me right. You're not paying me right. Give me more money. Blame me, man.
I've got to ask.
You're losing for an hour. That's $10.
I've got to ask you the same question as I asked Chinny last week. So, which is it? If you only had to get one of these games between Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, which would it be? No one meant to have
all that power. I can't say
no,
yet.
No, come on.
The honeymoon isn't over yet.
Early opinion, right? Just an early out there.
Just like, you know, like a knee-jerk reaction.
Look, here's what I'll say. My knee-jerk is that I generally played Call of Duty more than I played Battlefield 2 Bad Company 2. So back in, you know, last time around, it was Modern Warfare. Now, I might be kind of sick of Modern Warfare by this point. I don't think I am, but... You know, whatever. I like both of them, and there's different things about them. You know, Modern Warfare 3 tends to be the one I sort of throw in and just have a laugh with. Yeah. But Battlefield 3 is better for strategy and a little more, you know, slow pace. You're just trying to figure out where the enemy is type of thing. I'll probably end up playing Modern Warfare 3, and if I had to choose, I suppose that would be the one that I would go
with. Yeah, so if you could only have bought one of them, that would be the one you
bought. But just barely, you know what I mean? Just barely.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Battlefield 3 is awesome.
What do you just out of interest, what do you think about the, I can't think what his name is off the top of my head now, but the guy from Sledgehammer pleading with people not to put negative reviews up on Metacritic for user reviews?
I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. What do you think of that? And we'll come.
If you're scared of what people really think, then
well,
you're making games.
If we're being honest, it's not actually what people really think, is it? You know, it's
how do you know?
It is. If you read some of these, you just put naught and go, Battlefield is the best. Call of Duty sucks. Or whatever, you know. So, you know.
Well, does that mean we shouldn't have user reviews then?
Well, we'll come to this in a minute because there's another thing. Well, in the second part of the show, there's another thing happened this week which. Possibly says we shouldn't, or it needs to be looked at, and we'll.
Well, that's a different question. If we're going to have user reviews, we can't say,
well,
"Oh, this person's not really
well,
giving."
Well, wait till you know the story, and then you can give your views on it.
You're asking me the question, what I think about it.
No. And there's another thing happened. There's something else happened. So
there's a thing with the.
There's a thing with the thing
you don't know about.
There's something else happened this week that we just want.
All right. Next game so I'm playing.
Is it Skyrim? Well, hold that thought. Let's see if Chini's been playing anything else apart from Skyrim. Then we'll come back to Skyrim and talk about it all together. Is that okay with you?
First.
Yes.
Okay, Chini.
I've got a bonbon in my mouth. Hang on.
God.
And now some music.
PS3 sucks.
Buy it now. Right, so I haven't planned anything out. I don't think so.
So it's purely just Skyrim.
In other words, no.
Hold on. But I do have something I want to announce.
I like announcements.
I'm gay. No, so...
Oh, we figured that out last week.
Yeah, we heard all.
Yeah. I didn't film any of those topless women. Yeah. But when that bloke came out, booyah. Competition.
Oh, competition. I forgot we had another one.
Competition. Oh, snap.
We have another competition. By the time this podcast is up, there will be a collage on Veteran Gamers of many different games squashed into one picture.
Wow. Right? Do you know what? This has got to be a masterpiece because you've been doing this for 3 months.
Not 3 months. 10 months. Right. So, it's just a massive mess of games, right? And they're mainly current gen games, you know what I mean? Like PS3, Xbox games, right?
Yeah.
Nintendo Wii games. So you got to try and pick as many games as you can. Try and get as many as you can, and the person who gets the most will win some Microsoft points or some PlayStation card or whatever. Ask Bongo if he's still down.
I'm assuming he is. He is.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
But we've also got some potential Brucey bonuses to throw in as well. But it can only be.
And we will announce. Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't know this, but it'll be fine. We'll announce the winner on the launch.
Yeah,
show.
I'm liking that.
So if you have a go, find out that if you want, turn up for the live show and then you won't.
Yeah.
But also people who come close, because there's gonna be 99 games in this picture.
Wow.
Damn.
99 games. And I doubt. Look, I don't know. It's hard because when I make it, I was like, people are going to get every one of these.
Oh, well,
no.
Sorry.
God, I was like, what is that? There's some weird noise going on. What's happening? Is there a Hoover? What is that?
I put a bomb on in my mouth when that was playing. I thought it was going to be playing on it. So.
Cool.
Right, 99.
God.
Right, sorry, go ahead.
99 games in this picture. Guess as many as you can. I think it's easy, but I'm sure people will go, what the hell? This is too hard or whatever. And if two people get all of them, then we'll work it out. But
sorry, Chinny. I'm sorry if you already said this. Is this a new picture? Or is this something that's been around?
No, Chinny made it. Chinny made it.
You made it. Okay. Because there's one that came out a couple of years ago that had this same sort of idea, but I just want to make sure it wasn't that same one because people would have keys to that.
Nah, so, Chinny made it.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on, baby.
Yep.
So the depths of Chinny's head.
And it will be up on Veteran Games by the time this podcast is up.
Awesome. But the good thing is...
Go check it out,
people! The cool thing is, although Duke and I won't win, we can play along because we have no idea what's on this picture.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'll see how many I can get. It's probably going to be rubbish now. I'll be like, oh, I'm rubbish at this.
Special boob award goes to Stu.
Yeah. We'll see.
Right.
Anyway.
All right.
Moving on. Right. Let's get to it. Right. Duke. Skyrim.
You know, I didn't manage to finish my Fallout 3 run before Skyrim came out, but you know what? I don't even care. This game is freaking awesome! I'm loving it. I'm like 35 hours in now.
Wow.
And I feel like I've just scratched the surface. I really do. Like, I've got at least 20 quests going right now.
Yeah.
And every time I finish one, I stumble upon two more that are like, hey, can you help me find this? My son's gone or whatever it is. I must say it's gorgeous. I think they really nailed the adjustments to the visuals that they needed to, because as much as I loved Oblivion and the way it looked, everything felt kind of plastic You know what I mean? Like when you were down in a dungeon,
yeah.
It looked all shiny everywhere. And it's like, what is that? Like it's wet. No, that's not what things look like when they're wet. And, you know, a beautiful meadow might be a little too shiny or just bright. You know what I mean? And they really did a good job.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah. They did a good job with the mist and, you know, the clouds. And as much as I get a little sick of it being, oh, snow-covered mountains again. They do tend to vary a lot of the graphics. And
can I just ask, have you noticed any screen tearing? Because I've heard quite a few people saying on the 360 version there is some issues with that. No, I haven't.
There's a little bit, yeah. And apparently Bethesda said don't install it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but, yeah, they've made that fairly clear because he doesn't cache properly if you do that.
Really?
Yeah. Don't install it.
I installed it. I'm not trying to listen to a loud, but
there's some issues with streaming the text.
I've noticed a little bit of pop in, and I've noticed I had a really weird thing happen when I was passing by this one woman. And you know, people pass by people, and they're like, "Lovely time of the year," or whatever. And this woman said, "It's good to see you." She was gone. She just vanished.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Why aren't you sticking around, man?
Where
are you, but lady? I really like the VATS-like finishing moves, especially because you can't tell when they're going to happen. The fact that they're sort of random and they only happen maybe one out of 10 battles makes them really awesome. I'll be in the midst, especially if you're going up against like a really tough enemy. I was going through this cavern, and I got to the end of it, and there was this really hard dude, and I was out of potions, and I'm like casting fast healing over and over again. I'm like, don't let me die. Come on, Flame Atronach. Fire more fireballs
at it.
Yeah,
I use that a lot.
And I was just like, and I got so close to dying, and then I did one last, and then it went into the, you know, special slowdown, me putting it right through his torso, and I was like, yeah, what? Take that. Yeah.
Can I just ask what I found myself doing? Have you ever played Neverwinter Nights back in the day?
I had never did.
I find myself sort of using some of those old fashioned attributes from that game where you feel like you buff yourself up before you go into a fight. So if you sort of know someone's coming up, you're sort of working out which
stone skin,
which spells to use first.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get all your potions ready.
Which shout
ready.
Are you going to have? Does he have a weapon? If so, you need this shout. If not, that shout.
Absolutely. If it's animals, obviously use the one that makes animals run away, which is most useful.
Yeah.
But yes,
well, make them.
I think although the combat's still very hacky slashy, I think there's more tactical stuff to be done prior to them.
And it's very customizable too. The thing I really like is that you get to choose how you want to approach it, because I've always been a single weapon user. I like the dual combat in Dragon Age Origins, but most, especially this first person thing, I can't do dual wielding. It's not going to work for me. And I like the fact that I can cast a spell and then attack him with a sword and then cast another spell and attack him with a sword. I don't like the fact you can't block, because even if I have a spell in my left hand and a sword in my right, I could use that sword to block. But you can't block if you're dual wielding.
So let's move to Chinny. Now, have you played it, Chinny? Have you played this now?
No, a lot of people are kind of like
bated breath, man.
We
want to know.
We're waiting.
Wondering. So, it was, you know, we just done the play date, and I said to Duke, should I play it? And you said, play it. So I went, right, I'm going to play it. So I sat there, and then I watched V for Vendetta instead. Fuck the game.
Right. Okay.
So I didn't play it.
So you still not played it?
So you haven't played it at all?
You just...
Well, you know what? If you're going to tell Skyrim to go F itself, I think V for Vendetta is like the best thing you could do instead. I would like for you to play it, but that's a great movie, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, so no, like I do want to play it, and I just know it's going to be a massive investment, and I'm like,
oh, for God's sake, just put it in and give it a whirl, for God's sake.
See, I was going to play it tonight, and I had a snooker match, so
snooker.
So, no, I haven't played it yet. Sorry. It's all
right. Do you know, right? Oh, well, I'm just going to carry on then if you haven't bothered playing it. Rubbish.
Sorry.
I was here. I thought, we'll get Chinny in the conversation, see what he thought. You know, not having played one before, what does he think about it? No, rubbish. Anyway.
No.
Yeah, he's not played it. That's the wrong music for that. What are you playing now?
No, that's FIFA.
Oh. I've never seen it.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
I've got it. I've got it, but never seen it. How funny is that? Anyway,
I've listened to every song on this jukebox.
Hey,
never danced.
Anyway,
people should not be scared of their governments. Government should be scared of their people.
Okay, I'll tell you what my favorite thing about Skyrim is. Okay. Because I've been thinking about this.
Okay.
I've been
thinking about this.
But no.
Yeah,
no,
duh.
It isn't.
What do
no,
you
it
think?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Bollocks, it
no,
isn't.
It isn't. My favorite thing about Skyrim is just how random it is. It is just so random, right? For instance, I was just heading off somewhere to go on like whatever quest I was on. I'm on the Winterhold Mage's quest at the moment, so that's what I'm doing. And I cross this bridge into Darkwater Pass or something, whatever it was called, right? And then this just random dude come running up to me with a note, a courier. And he went, "Hiya, I've got this note for you. I don't know who he's from, they wouldn't say, but it's for you. And all I was told was to give it to you." So I was like, okay then.
Okay.
So I opened the note. And it,
Duke, have you had this happen to you? Sorry.
I have not.
Right. And this note just said something like,
"Fuck you."
From a friend. No, from a friend. "You cause quite a stir wherever doing your dragon shouts. But if you head to this place, you can hone your skills even more." And just gave me a place on the map to go to do it. And I'm like,
they're selling you shit. They're selling you training.
No.
Let me ask you
say,
this,
it's very. I haven't been to look yet, but it's very random.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this, Stu.
Yeah.
Have you been to... So wait, you were on your way to Winterhold.
No.
No, you're on your way to Whitehaven or whatever it is.
No.
The Mage's College.
No, I've been there, done that. But it was part of the Winterhold quest, and I had to go to this Dwarvian temple thing to meet with these mages. So I was on my way there.
So you were on your way to meet with the mages, and then they gave you a note to go somewhere else?
Yeah, so on the way there.
Because I thought you meant they were going to tell you to go to see the mages.
No. This was completely aside.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What's up with that? I want that note. I want to know how else I can pimp out my shouts.
I know. I was like, but right, this is the thing, right? I've played for 20 hours, right? You've played 35. I've played 20. And...
means I love it.
I really don't know what I've done in 20 hours, right? I've done...
You designed your face.
I know. I've done... This is seriously true, right? I've done 3 parts of the main quest up to seeing the Greybeards, right? So I've been up there, seen them guys, done that. Yeah. And I've done sort of quite a bit of the mages, the Winterhold quest, right?
See, I haven't done very much of that.
But what people have got to understand, right? If you've never played an RPG, right? And there will be people listening who, like Ginny, have never played Oblivion, maybe, or never played...
Or never played a Bethesda RPG.
Like, each quest line is like a game in itself. Like, because the Winterhold quest, I've been playing that now, that quest line, probably for about 4 hours of the time I've been playing.
And along the way, you're going to find, like I said, you're going to find like 20 different side quests along the way. And you're going to want to
heard about, like, you open like too many side quests at
the same time. See, that can be annoying. I agree with that.
I haven't really had that so much, but you get distracted, right? Because you're walking along to wherever the hell you're going, and it's like, ooh, there's a road to the right here. I wonder where that goes. And then you follow that for a bit, and there's obviously a little marker on your little map thing, so you're like, there's somewhere to go. Sure. And you get to a fort, and there's some bandits, and then you'll spend an hour clearing that out and getting all the swag.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got an exploit. Now, I don't know whether you want to know a little exploit. Okay. It's sort of a cheat, but sort of isn't.
I probably either already know about it or won't ever use
it. Well, it's a good one. You might.
Here, wait. Let's warn people, though.
Warning!
If you don't want a backdoor, easy access thing.
It sort of is, but there's definitely worse ones in Oblivion than this. Okay.
It's not as bad as
the gold glitch in Oblivion.
Right.
It's not
anyway, go on.
But, right. Okay. Here's the thing. Okay, have you got a companion?
There's a woman who will go with me, but I don't want to have to watch out for her.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
My understanding is that unlike in Fallout New Vegas, if they die, they die.
Nah, you can go back to
it.
Just go back to it as long as you save regularly.
No.
She's died.
But I'm saying, like, in Fallout New Vegas, when a person died, they just went unconscious, and then they'd wake up after the battle.
They can be killed, but they are pretty...
Screw that, I'm not dragging someone around.
You don't, honestly, right, listen to me. You need to take one with you because they're really useful. I'm sure they are, but
I'm not trying to keep an eye out for them. Forget that.
Whatever armor or weapons you give them, they will put on and use whatever the most powerful stuff is that you give them. So you can buff them.
They ain't touching my weapons and my
weapons. Well, listen, but you get loads of weapons. Right, listen, right. Honestly, listen to me. You need to take...
Listen to me.
You need to take
listen
someone
to
with
me.
You, right? And this is a reason. Okay. One, they can carry 300 the same as you, so you automatically double what you can bring back from looting. Right? Straight away. But
more Forsworn armor? Who cares?
Well, listen, but you can sell it all, can't you? Make loads of gold. But that's it.
Oh, 20 gold.
Well, oh, God. Right, but this is the exploit. Listen to me, right? Let me get to the exploit. So basically, right, if you take a companion with you, And you get, you, as you start to level up, you do start getting some cool magical weapons, and you can't carry everything. And you just end up staggering around then because you've got too much weight on you, and you're like, oh, but that's like so cool, and I don't want to drop this because I want to pick that up, right? And that will happen. Regardless of whatever you say, that will happen, right?
Yeah, but it's a very simple equation, though, for me. Am I going to use this new weapon that I've picked up? Most of the time, the answer is no, because I'm not bothering with magical weapons because I don't have to recharge all that stuff.
Well, that's easy.
So
though.
I just, I just put it in my bag, and then I go, okay, I'll sell that. And then I pick up something else. I'm like, is that worth more than this other thing? Yes.
Well, if you could sell all of those things, you would make a lot of gold.
I'm making gold anyway. I'm not poor.
Well, I have
a house, and it's fully decorated.
See, that's a waste of money as well.
But not this exploit with your little friend, and you're cheating the game.
Let me just finish. I've not even got around to tell you what it is yet. Right. So,
go ahead.
So if you take the companion, right?
Oh, I'm fascinated. By
she can also carry 300, and she helps you in battles, yes. And she's pretty tough. And it's like, you know, some.
I thought you were gonna say she's pretty. I'm like, what?
Well, yeah.
Well,
you just,
yeah.
I just
looking at that, right?
loads of.
And she listens to stories about digging out your attic.
But here's the exploit. Okay, if you pick up an item, okay, and you can't really carry it because you're not gonna. If you drop it on the floor and then direct your companion to pick it up, right? They can pick up as many of those things as you like. So if you drop it and getting them to pick it up, they can. It doesn't weigh anything. It doesn't add to the weight.
Quick, people, as soon as they figure this out, they're going to patch
it.
Hurry
it's
up.
Happen.
Do it.
It's going to happen. But it's a cool exploit. And then what you do, right, this is the funniest thing, right? So you go back to a shop, right, or wherever, to sell whatever you've got. And then you just take everything back off them, and then you sort of stagger in with the biggest inventory in the world and just sell it all. But I've cleaned out the shopkeepers, though. They've no gold left.
I keep clearing out the shopkeepers, too, which is why I don't understand who you're selling these things to. All these people are broke.
There's plenty of places and plenty of cities where you can flog all that stuff.
I will say this. One of the things I really
like
about
the game
is
that... And dragon bones, they weigh so much.
Yeah, but as soon as you kill a dragon, go run and sell their bones.
Yeah.
So
well, unless you want to make dragon armor later on, which is the best armor in the game.
Spoiler, I didn't know you could do that. Damn it, now I should be saving it. I figured I probably should be, but you know what? There's lots of dragons around. But, okay, so that leads me to 2 points. Number one, I really like the fact that if you're trying to sell something for 100 gold and the shopkeeper only has 80, it says to you, hey, this guy's only got 80 gold. Are you sure you still want to do this transaction? Because I did that a lot in the Fallout games. I'd be like, I sell this thing that's worth 300. And then it's like, you got 30 gold for it. I'm like, what? Wait a minute, what? How did I get gold? I thought this was Fallout. Now I'm getting gold? I thought I was supposed to be getting bottle caps. Oh, I messed up. Anyway, the other thing I want to say is, those dragons, they think they're slick. They think they're awesome. They think that, oh, I'll fuck you up. No! Why don't you land, you little punk dragon, scumbag piece of crap? If you landed, you and I could go toe-to-toe, and you know I'd mess you up 2 times. But you're going to hover in the air. Rah! Shut up. I'm not scared of you. Why don't you land, and then we'll see what's up.
Yeah, that is true.
They won't land around me because they know I'll mess them up. I do like the fact that the dragons are not the hardest thing in the game. Because in Dragon Age Origins, man, those dragons are – that's it. Like, you go up against – well, hang on a second. I suppose Dragon Age spoilers.
Warning.
You go up against Flemeth, that battle is insane because you're not ready for it when you first meet her.
Yeah, I've got to say that two burrs – are way harder than one dragon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Those bears will mess you up.
That's why you need your animal shout. Then you can make them calm. So then you fill your soul gems because you calm them down.
Oh, you fire shout at them and you set them on fire and then you slice at them and you do a power slice and then you set them on fire some more.
Yeah, you can do it.
And you have your fire action.
You just
got to
make sure you do a soul gem sort of spell on them, then you capture the soul.
Oh, God. You turn...
soul gems are when
well
you turn...
Nerdy.
That's when you're a total nerd if you're doing
soul
gems. Of course,
man. Gee.
I'm cool.
You know,
I'm not messing with
I'll tell you a little story. Right? Nothing to do with me. But Feng Chui, right?
Feng Chui.
I was talking to him about it. And he
is this the guy who put all the things on the Oblivion map?
Yes.
Nerd.
He spent, right, this is true. He spent 3 hours just making daggers, right, in the game, right? Now, you may laugh and you may scoff at that. But he is now level 80 on smithing, right? And you need to be level 100 to make Daedric armor, which is obviously, apart from the dragon armor, the best armor in the game. So
I'll probably find it eventually.
Yeah, it's tough to find that sort of stuff. But anyway, he's going to be making this stuff. But I just love all the different ways things level up, like the lockpicking, right? When you level up lockpicking, the perks are get more gold out of a chest or get more magical items. I love all that sort of stuff.
But that's kind of like in Fallout when you can get more caps or get more ammo.
Yeah, and I think they've taken
but
a lot.
But it is cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like it. And I like the fact that I don't have to level up things. I mean, I suppose you can do this in a lot of games now. But yeah, you know, like I'm leveling up light armor and one-handed weapons. I'll say this, though. The one-handed perks, those kind of suck because they're all about the power attacks. I don't use those much. So why don't you just make swords do damage, period?
You see, I think I've got the same. What race did you go for?
Dead dark elf because he looks the coolest.
Okay,
he's all haggard and nasty. And, don't mess with me.
Yeah. Well, I went with Argonian, so again, I've got a weird
lizard freak.
Yeah. But he's got great lizard attributes because he can breathe underwater, resistant to disease.
Who cares? What do you need to go underwater? Never.
Well,
I haven't had to go underwater. Maybe you'll get the last laugh because there's the last part of the last mission is going underwater. And I'll be like, oh, I don't have any potions of water breathing.
Yeah, but there's always ways around that.
Yeah, there's some of the animations are kind of slow, like when you open doors or when you kill somebody, you have to wait like 2 seconds before you can start looting their body. I don't have that kind of time. I'm a busy man. Let's go, people. I need to hurry up and get the stuff out of this corpse so I can take on the next dude who's coming at me with, you picked the wrong time to get lost, friend. No, I didn't. I'm about to set you on fire and then take your armor so that you'll be dead, naked, on the ground next
which
to your
is
friend.
Similar to what I said last week. You see, those people will be running for you. So a fight.
Sounds like a stag dude that I want to.
But they don't.
I'll say this, though. I feel kind of bad because sometimes you'll be taking on somebody and you know you're about to screw them up and they're like, oh, mercy, I give up. You're like, no, you don't. Ah, decapitate.
Yeah. Can I ask, have you remapped any of the controls? Because that's one of the first things I did.
I don't think so.
Because...
what did you remap?
Because, right, well, when he does a bloody crouch on the left thumbstick, it's a nightmare. You're in the middle of a battle, and obviously you do it inadvertently, and then he's crouching, and you don't want him crouching, and then you have to get back up and go, oh, it's a pain in the ass. So I remapped that to the bottom left trigger. And I put sprint on the left thumbstick, like in Call of Duty.
Oh, I forgot about sprinting.
Yeah,
I
so that
been
way,
sprinting
at- if you're inadvertently pressing a battle, it makes absolutely no difference. And I'm okay with going from third to first if that happens, because that doesn't really stop you or, you know, take you out of the flow.
Yeah, I have done a little bit of ducking. Maybe I will do that. That's not a bad idea. But you know why I didn't do sprinting? It's because I think I was standing around and pressing the left bumper, and I was like, why isn't this doing anything?
Yeah. So, but you can remap the whole control scheme to whatever you want. You can change every button.
Good. I like that. So, they should have that on every game.
So go in and do it. It's a great tip, and it makes a huge difference.
All right, Chinny's getting really bored. Yeah. I have one more thing I need to say.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I was being serious.
Oh, they I thought you were joking.
No, they should do that on every game.
Yes. Okay. I'm really glad. Let me just say this, Bethesda. Thank you for giving us quick exits out of caverns and caves and stuff. There, I remember back in the day when you go into a cavern and you'd spend like 3 minutes just in traveling and you know, fighting people all along the way, and then you kill the last guy. You had to go out the way you came in. It would be such a pain in the ass. Now you go out through this cavern, and then like you kill the last dude, and in his bedroom there happens to be this door that lets you out into the fresh air. I'm like, yes.
That's I think really they did a little nice bit of that in Oblivion. I do remember that.
They did. There wasn't every one of them. I remember having to backtrack a lot of those caves.
But it reminded me a lot of Rage, because Rage did that really well with each level. You know, there was always you always ended up back where you started, even though you'd gone through this massive area.
Right.
Why
didn't there's
you just
a
go through that door in the first place?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you do, but then it's like up above the rest of it or something.
Yeah.
There's a rock wall you didn't know could move.
But I just love everything they've done with the puzzles in the caverns, and you know, they've changed up. But in Oblivion,
they're all right. They're a little samey.
Yeah, but Oblivion, they were all copied and pasted. You know, they all looked exact. Well, and once you start going into, have you been into any Dwarvian ruins? Have you been into the Dwarvian stuff?
I don't know.
You'll
don't
know so. Because
you two sound like right.
You'll know, right? Because everything's steam powered and it's all mechanical, and all the enemies are robots and stuff. So, so cool, man. When you go in your first one, you're like, wow, how different is this to everything else? And it's so cool. Yeah. And there's steam coming out of the walls, and there's, you know, pistons and all sorts of stuff, crazy stuff going on. And they've really got the feel right.
What have I been saying about spoilers?
Well, that's not a spoiler. That's just, it's just a different environment.
As you can hear, I've let him
believe Mike is broken.
I know he is.
Really enjoyed that. Liked it.
been a while since.
God, that's massive. I'd forgotten how big that was.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's my biggest thing. And also, I reckon I'm lucky if I've covered like more than 10% of the map. I don't think I've anywhere. I've only. Have you been to any other major cities? Have you been to any cities apart?
Yeah, I've been to a few of those actually by now. But just because there's stuff near them. Yeah. So, like, I'm just going to do... And I'll tell you this. This is a... I'm going to spoil something, people. So, I'm sorry if I spoil it. I'm so
warning,
sorry.
Warning!
This is actually a spoiler that's coming up. And, Stu, I don't know if you want to not get a spoiler.
Yeah, it depends. What if it's story, I might be bothered. But if it's not...
It's a little story.
Yeah, I'm probably not.
But it's just the start of a mission.
Yeah, go on. Go.
So, I'll forget it.
Yeah, that's... And I'm okay with that.
There's this one guy who says, "You seem like a good guy. I bet I could take you in a drinking competition." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever." And he's like, "Oh, come on, let's do it." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess this will be a drinking mini game." And it sort of is, and it's stupid. I'm like, "Whatever." And then at the end of it, he goes, "Ah, you win. You did better than me. Hey, you don't look so good." You black out. You wake up on the other side
of
the map. And then it's like, you're in this temple, and this woman's like, "What were you yelling? Why did you destroy my temple?" And you're just like, "What?" And that's the start of the mission.
Brilliant. I love
it's really,
that.
It's a well done. Opening to a mission.
That one thing that you just said there makes me want to play that game really badly.
Chinny, there is a million and one of those types of things happen.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Even the opening cinematic, I think, is really well done. So,
I was a bit bored at the beginning, I must admit. But once you got it, the only other thing, just one final thing, and he's similar to that. But I was just walking along, and there's this woman jogging in towards me, like fully kitted out in some nice.
I have another note for
nice
you.
Nice dwarven armor, and I was like, "You look kind."
Wait, hang on a second. Am I missing something? Isn't it dwarven?
Well,
armor?
I don't know. Whatever.
Dwarven.
Well, whatever. And she looked kind of cool. No. I was like, "I like your helmet. Nice." So I talked to her, and she went, "Oh, I've heard there's a bit of trouble around here." And she was like a mercenary sort of thing that had been paid, you know, was looking for sort of work sort of thing. And anyway, she said, "Yeah, I've heard there's some trouble around here. I'm going to check it out," sort of thing. And then one of the options was ask her, "Can you join with her? Persuade," sort of thing. Right? But my speech is crap. Right. I don't talk to anyone. I haven't even put any points in there.
See, I've been building my speech way up.
I keep forgetting. I feel like I should have done that, but I just didn't. Anyway, I did. And she was like, "No, I'm not telling you nothing." Right? So I was like, and then, but one of the bottom choices was bribe with 40 gold, right? So I was like, "Oh, I'll talk to her again."
And you got, we know you got gold.
Yeah, I've got plenty of gold.
Doing the glitch.
Yeah, I've got about 5,000 gold at the moment. I haven't bought anything. So anyway, so I thought...
Super bribe, 2,000 gold.
So I thought... So I pressed X, right? And she wouldn't talk to me again, right? So I couldn't do it. So I was like, huh. So I said...
Yeah, I know. That's kind of annoying. Yeah. It's like, I'm like, if Persuade doesn't work, I'll go to Intimidate. Yeah. But no,
get one shot. Anyway, so she starts walking off, right? So I thought, well, I'll follow her and see where she goes, right?
I'll kill her and take her home.
She's like, every girlfriend you've ever had.
I've got to say, right, I accidentally killed her, right? I didn't mean to.
It is like every girlfriend you've had.
I didn't mean to, right? This is true, right? Because I couldn't remember.
I swear, Judge,
I couldn't remember, right? I couldn't remember. I just had a bit of a mind. You know where I'd map my crouch to? Because I thought, well, I'm going to pickpocket her and see if she's got anything decent to nick, right? But I pressed shout by mistake, right? She did a force blast on her, right? So she wasn't happy. She turned around and started attacking my companion, and obviously started attacking her straight away. And I did in the end because I thought, well, I'm not going to go kill. And
see, that's another thing
and
about
now,
companions, man. They'll start attacking people. I'm like, wait, I'm
going
to kill this
person.
No,
they only do if you attack someone.
Okay.
Put my sword away.
Well, you put your sword away. They do. It's quite cool that way.
Well, what? Sometimes people will back off if you put your sword
away. Well, anyway,
away.
Right. So I thought, so anyway, now I'm walking around with that nice helmet on. So I just took all the stuff.
Take that,
but
lady.
It was an accident. But again, that is a great example of the random.
I accidentally killed a woman and took her helmet.
Random stuff that happens.
Yes. Yeah, there is a lot of that. I think they've done a good job building that in. Like, they did some good stuff with Fallout New Vegas on that, but I think they really did it
much
better.
Have you joined the companions yet, by the way?
I have.
Have you? Now, I've been told, right?
I have
another
not.
Spoiler. Another spoiler, right? This is only...
This is a spoiler. This is
another spoiler.
If it is what I think it is.
But if you join the companions, you can become something that's kind of
yes,
cool.
And I'm not going to.
I just thought I'd ask. Yeah, that's a bit vague, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I want to do that.
Why?
It's cool. How cool is that?
But you're cursed.
Yeah, but he's still cool, though, isn't he?
Well, yeah, it's cool for a little while, and then you're like, ah! Edward thought he was cool at first. Uh-oh, I've said too much. Moving on!
Okay, I think that's it.
All right.
What we'll do, and I know we've talked a lot already, right, but in a few weeks, and I have spoken to Mr. Conger, Okay. We're going to do a Skyrim special show. Now, I reckon we'll do it as a midweek one, not as part of the main show. We'll do it as a completely entity. And anyone who wants to listen to it can do, and anyone who's not bothered. But we'll probably have quite a lot of spoilers. We're not going to obviously get to the end of the story. We might do. Some of us might. I'm not interested in that at the moment. I'm just doing loads of random stuff. But we'll talk a lot more about random stories and things that have happened and relate, see what each...
I got a lot more notes here, people. I'm not even going into all this stuff. No.
I'm guessing Steve will be listening. So what you should do, what we should all do, is kind of write down like your story, like as a narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that'd be cool. Kind of,
like an actual story, and then just read them out one by one, just like your turn.
That would be
like,
very long stories. Though.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
short.
Yeah, we'll do a sort of bullet points and things that happen as we're playing, and I'll start doing that. I haven't been taking any notes as such, but. You know, I will start.
I'm the super nerd. I win the nerd contest.
You've been taking loads of notes, have you?
I've been taking notes.
I haven't been doing that, but I just remember.
Call yourself a nerd.
I remember
come on.
Things that happened, you know, cool stuff.
Nerds don't have good memories.
But yeah, one final thing, though. Can I just mention one thing? It's nothing story related, but, right, I've got to a point where I feel pretty badass, right? Bandits, no problems, right?
Right. Yeah. Dragons, no problems.
Dragons, no problems, right?
A giant shows up. Oh, God, run!
Yeah, dwarven caves. Oof, there's some tough stuff in there. And you suddenly realise, actually, you still are quite vulnerable. You've got to save a lot more often when you get in one of those. So,
And you know, you were talking about saving last week. People, do this. Go into settings, and where it says autosave, and it says user menu, the default is 15 minutes. Change it to 5.
Wow, didn't know you could do that. I'm going to do
that.
Wow, that's a brilliant
tip. It's such a good thing. Every time I go to my user menu, it's like auto-saving. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I told it to do that. Good. Awesome. And I should do a real save, too, while I'm at it. But I was like level 2. Like one of the first missions I did, I was like, I'm going to go over here. It's near to where I started from. There can't be anything too dangerous. Oh, look, it's a mastodon. I'm going to go and say hello. Look, it's a giant. They look like they could mess me up, but I'm going to just say hello. Oh, my God. Pounding the ground and like sending me flinging up in the air. I was like, what the hell?
Do you know, when the game first came out, people thought that was a glitch.
Really?
Yeah, there was a video up going, is this the best glitch ever or just like genius?
No, it's not a glitch. It is not a glitch. Stone giants, you are a freaking tiddlywink when you first start out.
I just wish
out,
it would let show you falling back to the earth because it doesn't. It just sort of.
No, it does not.
I would love, like, you know, you just.
Because there's only so much time after you die that the game's going to sit and show your
last corpse. Last thing I'll mention, there's been some mods coming out, obviously, on the PC because people are modding away, you know. And
see, this is what I don't get, man. The game hasn't been out long enough.
Oh, the people are doing it. And one of the best ones I've seen, and I have put it in the show notes, right? And it is just truly should be in the game. And they've done the map like a 3D Google map, you know, where you can zoom right into the ground and back
out
again.
I don't really care for that 3D map, man. That's kind of messed up.
It is cool. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. The mod would be very awesome. I think that the 3D map is kind of – it's hard to tell sometimes. And it's kind of nice. Like, okay, I'm on the top of the mountain, and I need to get down and to the right. And I suppose it shows the path better.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's a 3D map.
There's definitely that.
But,
and also, I thought as well, sometimes you go in something, you're like, oh, well, that looks like – and you could zoom in and have a look at it. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. I think that should definitely be in the next game or whatever, because it's such a cool thing. Yeah. And it's way better than any map I've ever seen on a game. But – unfortunately, we haven't got PCs, so we don't get access to any of that stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Right, at this point, because the first bit of the show has run on quite a long time, but that's fine.
We talked for an hour and a half.
That is fine. But what we're going to move on to now, it is time for the Vlados review for the Indie Pick this week. It's raining bad.
Just had to remind people that Chinny likes men.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
He's a veteran gay man.
Yeah.
Indie game review.
Buenas noches, señoritas. Vlados aquí con otra revisión en deep indie anti duegos. I'm starting in Spanish today because our indie game this week comes to us from a developer in Spain, Eclipse Games. Or, en español. Eclipse Way Goes. Do you remember that awesome video game, Kix, released by Taito in the arcade back in 1981? Of course you do. You probably remember how your dad would play it all the time when your family went anywhere near an arcade. And then he'd recommend that you play it too, so that your mind would get a workout, because it involved actual thinking instead of just jumping over barrels like in Donkey Kong. Oh daddy, why won't you hug me? You hug the mailman. Well anyway, this week's indie game is Lightfish, and it's exactly the same game as Kicks. Only there's more multipliers and bonuses and stuff. You control a fish and you have to section off parts of the board to surround them. And if you box in an enemy, then it explodes and you go, yay. Eclipse Games is composed of industry veterans and, according to their website, they are, quote, really passionate about games. Too bad they're not really passionate about proofreading, because they have a comma splice on their About Us page. Lightfish is 80 Microsoft points at Xbox Indie Games. Thanks to Stu for finally giving up the 8-bit love fest and giving us a game that has a refined, modern look. I'll have to find something else to get fucking angry at Stu about. This is Vlados saying, adios tirones. To Abuela es una bolsa de colostomia.
Awesome. She didn't get bleeped out, though. It was weird hearing her actually swear.
Yeah,
properly.
I know. It was a little bizarre. I don't know what's going on there. I forgot to bleep.
I don't know what's going on there. Sorry. God, it's...
I was too busy trying to find the Mo Sizlak quote that she referenced.
Oh, daddy, daddy, why? Why won't you hug me? You hugged a mailman.
Classic. Oh, it's a great moment.
So... No 8-bit games in sight this week. Something different, you know.
Not this week. I'm sure they'll be back next week.
Sort of. Not quite as bad.
It's always sort of.
Yeah, I bet if Billy's like, Dad, are we having steak for dinner? And he's got a steak right there on the grill. Well, sort of.
Sort of.
But you're like, I think I've already picked next week's game. So
you're way ahead.
I'm way ahead of it. I could tell you now, and the listeners could play it.
Well, I got plenty of time to play.
Doesn't Vlados pick them?
Yeah, well, no, I picked them and give them to Vlados to review, basically. But
you break the 4-4.
Yeah, I know.
Oh snap! Now,
do you want me to tell you what it's going to be? You want me to tell you? The listeners could know, and then they
can talk about the game that we just heard a review
of. Okay, then. Well, I'll keep it to myself till next week then.
Well, you can tell
Dad, why did you bring me to a gay steel mill?
I don't know.
So, what did you think of, Lightfish? What did you think? Come on, who's going to start us off? Duke, Ginny, go for it, whoever.
Ginny, go
I'll
for it.
I'll start it off. It was alright. It's like, in Bully, you play this game as well. And it was just like, aesthetically, it looked alright. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't... I was like, I played this in Bully, it's an old classic... Meh.
Well,
you know,
I think they've changed it up enough. I mean, they've put a lot of different variations in there. But
no, they haven't.
You don't think so? I think they have.
I like it. I agree with Vladis. My dad used to play that game all the time. He used to tell me to play it.
Why won't you hug me?
Why don't you hug me? You hug the mailman. But it's pretty much exactly the same game.
Yeah, I mean, the release one, I talked about it quite a while ago on the PS3 called Cubix HD. PS3, and but what they did was use a 3D cube as opposed to just one side, you know, just a square. It was a whole cube.
Yeah, that might get confusing.
It didn't, no, it didn't, and it was kind of cool, and it worked similar to this, but obviously on a bigger scale. But I like the music, I like the aesthetics. I think, you know, it's an interesting little, and for 80 points, you know, it's fine. You know, I have no issues with that. But yeah, if you like a little puzzle, I thought it got really hard. That was the only thing I could say. Like, how you get those 3-star ratings, I have no idea. Because like, I got a couple at the beginning, but then like, once I got to the third or fourth level, I was like, yeah. And it saves your progress, by the way. So if you replay the demo again, you can carry on playing it.
That's cool.
So you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it. I like it enough to buy it because it has sentimental value for me because you know, it reminds me of my dad. And I just think it's a really well-done game, and it's cute, and it's fun. And
I think people should check it out. If you like a little puzzle game and, you know, you don't want to part with much money, it's definitely – and it's nice to look at. It is a nice game, and the music's fine. You know, I like the music that they had going.
Yeah.
I think they changed it. I thought the enemies, you know, changed up enough to keep you interested.
I didn't find any variation. You know, that's a fun game. It's like Tetris, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same thing over and over.
But one of the things I thought was really cool, if you block off an area almost completely, but there's still a tiny little gap left, if one of the star things that's bouncing around goes in, it goes like, it almost looks like a sparkler. Did you have that happen? Yeah.
Nope. I did get stuck, though. Like, I got stuck in,
Yeah, if you have those blocks kind of in the middle of the square. And my little fish thing got stuck in between it. I couldn't get out. I couldn't move.
That's done. Annoying. That's funny. No, that never.
Game finished. Game over.
Oh no, he got a glitch. But no, I think it's a.
Oh wait, sorry.
Game breaker.
Yeah, pretty well done. Okay, this might do a bit of news. I'm going to do some news. And then we have got. I'm only going to do one confession this week. It's quite a long one. But I'm going to do one. Not yet, though. Not yet. Because he's been bugging me about it. You know, damn bless him. We have had it a while. So, you know, it's about time we got it off his chest, you know, and gave our verdict on it. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I'm going to do some new stuff now. Okay. First things first. Okay. Yeah, Witcher, The Witcher 2 on Steam. We've had some figures because there's been a lot of stuff in the press lately about the new 360 coming out in 2012, apparently. So they're being told. And it's going to be a sort of a hybrid, sort of digital download plus still physical media type console.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So we're always wondering, you know, one of the things, Steam never releases any figures, do they, for any of the games that they sell on Steam. So we never know how many they really sell. And we've got to remember, all these games are downloads and people are going, oh, downloading's never going to take off, you know, it's never going to happen.
And that's where PC gamers who genuinely buy their games probably buy it off Steam or some other digital distribution. Not many buy them on.
So let's put it into context here. So the guy from Good Old Games, right, which is another digital download service, has revealed their figures for The Witcher 2. Okay, and they sold 35,000 copies. So that's how many they sell.
Right. Not a bad number.
And then they sort of said the others. So they gave the figures for every other digital download service, which they must have access to those figures somehow or other. Okay. And then the other ones, Direct to Drive, Impulse, and Gamesgate, sold 10,000 combined. So that was all of those services together combined, only sold 10,000. And Steam, are you ready for this? 200,000 were sold on Steam. I know it's you know, it wasn't the biggest release, you know, Witcher 2. I mean, it was big for a PC game, but that is a fair amount of copies, isn't it, digitally downloaded, you know, and we're sort of going, oh, it's never going to work, people aren't going to take to it. Well, I'll tell you what, from that, and then if you imagine something like Portal 2 on Steam, how many must that have sold? You know, or even Skyrim
The PC audience, they're used to technology more than console players, you know what I mean? It's going to take several years for the console market to get used to buying things online, whereas the PC audience are very used to it. You know, they've been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah, so. No, I don't disagree with you, but you know, when you're just like, wow, that's quite a lot, and that's not even one of probably the biggest releases on Steam. You know, if you get something like Portal 2 or, you know, one of Valve's own games.
Oh yeah, that'll smash it.
Yeah, you're talking millions, aren't you? Easily. You know what I mean? And I just think that's kind of interesting. Moving on. Okay. Guillermo del Toro. Huh? Is that right this time? Did I get it right, Duke? Did I?
Guillermo
del Toro. Yeah. Is that right?
I don't know. Vlados is the one that speaks Spanish.
Anyway.
I was trying to find the BBC News.
He was on... I have no idea why. Yeah, okay, I get it. He was on Irrational Interviews this week. Did you hear this?
I did not.
He was really interesting, you know, sort of, he was talking about Insane and how he's found it going from being a film movie director.
Now, this is a game that he's designing, yes?
Yes, he's the director of it. It's been made by Volition, who obviously makes Saints Row, so it's going to be interesting how they go from Saints Row to a sort of a serious horror, you know, sort of adventure type game. You know, so it'll be an interesting changeover. But he's sort of writing and directing it, from what I can gather. So he's sort of in charge of it, but obviously got everybody developing it. And it was really interesting to listening to him, you know, how... And it was quite interesting. He was saying that he hates cutscenes with a passion in games. He said as soon as he gets a cutscene, he just skips it. He said if it's longer than 3 or 4 seconds, he said, that's it, I just skip. He said, I never listen to cutscenes. And he thinks it's the worst way to tell a story in a game. because he said you should not be inactive. A game is about playing a game, and you shouldn't be inactive in it. It should be always, you should always be doing something, even if it is a cutscene. You should be doing something within it. And I was just going to ask you two what you thought about the ways that stories are told differently in different games, and you know how should we be going forward? You know, is he right about that? Should we be trying to do away with cutscenes altogether? You know, what are your thoughts on it?
I think he's got a point, but we're still in the black and white phases of gaming. Like, people really don't know what to do with them. So a cutscene is kind of like the easiest way to tell what, for the developer to tell you what you need to know. But we are starting to get to that point where cutscenes and gameplay are merging together. Uncharted, Dead Space, they seem to kind of, you know, merge those two things together. So I think that's what he's getting at. And also we have games like Fallout where, you know, and Skyrim, I'm guessing, that don't have cutscenes, and Half-Life, and, you know, it's just all you. So I can see where he's going with that. But I think in some cases, you know, I'd never skip a cutscene in Uncharted. But we've also said in James Bond Bloodstone, if you see a cutscene, you're saying, oh, you should be doing that. That's not right.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
I mean, Ken Levine obviously was interviewing with him. And he was saying much the same sort of thing. He said he hates cutscenes in games as well, and he tries to make sure that there's always some interactivity. You know, whatever's happening, you find a better way. He said, you know, and they both agreed that telling a story in a game is completely different to telling a story in a film.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they said a lot of filmmakers sort of think that it's just the same, but it isn't. You know, and I think that's been demonstrated this week with, it was obviously Telltale and the Jurassic Park game. You know, we'll come on to that in a little bit, but yeah, I think there's some. It was a really. If you've not listened to it, right, check out Irrational Interviews, and it's in two parts. It's about 20-odd minutes each part, and it's such an interesting interview.
I've got it on my iPod. I just haven't listened to
it. Yeah, it's really, really good. I was really impressed, and
I'm not ready to say that we should get rid of cutscenes, but I will say that developers have a responsibility to make them very efficient and to recognize that you're not making a little movie. I think some game developers are like, I am making a little movie. No, you're not.
Japan. Just pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
Do you know,
like, if you're spending more time watching cutscenes than you are playing the game, that's a problem.
It is. And do you know,
but a little bit here and there is okay.
Do you know, even playing Uncharted 3, I felt that it had more cutscenes than Uncharted 2 did somehow. Or less interactive ones, less interactive. There was a lot more, wow, look at this setting, look at this, what we've done. You know, I think there was a bit more of that in Uncharted. That's not a negative thing against the game, but it did feel like sometimes you should be within doing whatever it is. You know, but it's still great. It's still a great game. But I agree. I mean, obviously, Half-Life games don't have any cutscenes whatsoever.
No. Nope.
You know, but they have, but you sort of, you can still do it. But it's almost a game breaker as well, because you can do stupid things. I like jump up and down in front of the person that's talking or whatever. So you can still break it, you know.
Yeah, I always do that.
But
what's going on over here? What's going on over here?
What Gilmero said, and I think this is really relevant, he said you can give sort of the illusion to the player that they can do their own thing, but you don't actually have to let them do their own thing. So he's...
See, that's what I liked about Uncharted 2. Yeah. Uncharted 2 did that really well.
Yeah. And I think that's probably more important than whether you have a cutscene or not, is that you let people believe they're interacting in the way they want to, but it's still being directed without you noticing that that's happening. And I'm really excited to see what he does with Insane, you know. And, you know,
well, I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, 3 more years apparently it's going to be. You know, it's going to be quite a while. But he said it's a nasty game. Is basically what he's been saying about this. And not only that it's nasty, but he's saying that the things he's doing within this game are sort of worse than he would do in a film. He feels like he can get away with more in a game environment than he can in a film environment. So I've seen some of his films, and they're pretty crazy stuff. So God knows what is going on in this game. You know, so I'm really sort of excited to see. And he also said he did echo sort of, it's not always what you see, it's what you imagine more than what you're actually seeing happen, you know. And he did
what you don't see is more scary.
Yeah. And it's I think
2-in-1 shampoo.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be
the bottle will be all sticky and shit.
I think it's gonna be great. Yeah. I really do think it's gonna be
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what he comes up with, because he's a very creative guy and he has good ideas.
So. And he loves video games. He plays loads of
video games.
Loves
games.
So
good lad.
Yeah. You know. And he was saying it was interesting because they were both talking about playing games. And Ken Levine was saying, you know, he knows that, you know, some game developers that don't actually play any games. You know, they don't play them themselves. And he said, how can you make a game if you don't play all the other games that are around to see what they're doing?
Madness.
Yeah. And he said it's just craziness. He said that. He said, you know, you've got to make time to play other games so you know what's doing.
You gotta play what else is on the market. Yeah. You know, it's market research, if anything. Also, the first thing is you can play it and it's fun. You know what I mean? It's a fantastic piece of...
Yeah. If you don't love games, then you're going to have a hard time making good games.
Yeah.
It's so like anything. It's writing or teaching or making films. Like, if you don't love the thing, then your passion's not going to come through.
What's the point? So you got to... And then, yeah, it's market research as well. It's like you learn a bit from this and a bit from this. You know, like, all games are borrowed from other games.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Uncharted is borrowed from, like, Batman. Uncharted 3, I've heard, is Uncharted, like, the fighting is the same as Batman.
Well, it's not quite that deep, but it's similar.
Well, no, but it's kind of like borrowed a little thing from it, you know. Like, and you can see it, and eventually we're going to get towards like better and better games because other people are watching what everybody else is doing over their shoulder. You know, like, we'll do a bit of that in our game.
I mean, it comes... Talking of story in games again, you know, and I know we've talked a lot about Skyrim, but I was listening to Weekend Confirmed, and one of the guys on there said something which I thought was rather interesting about Skyrim. He said that he came... to a house, picked the lock on the door, and then inside there was like a pentagram on the floor and a charred body kneeling in the middle of it, but nothing else. So there was no context as to what had gone on or, you know, what was happening. There was no person came up with a note and there was no letter to tell you what. And he...
Sorry, wait, say that again? There's a person went into a house. Yeah,
and there's a pentagram drawn on the floor.
Did they pick the lock in the house?
He did pick the lock. I think so.
I know why that happened.
Oh.
It's part of a story thing that happens later.
Ah, so he's obviously come back. That happens in Skyrim and the Oblivion, where you can stumble into a quest that you've not started, and there's part of it.
Yeah, that happens in Fallout. As well.
So anyway,
yeah, it does.
But he said, he made up a story in his head of what had happened. He said, so
I know why this is like.
Yeah,
this.
It's because he was messing with the dark arts or whatever, and he got singed or whatever it may be. But he said that impressed him because he thought, well, there's no context, but I'm making my own story in a way because I'm imagining what must have happened here.
He'll come and find out what it was. And he'll be like,
So, I mean, I think it's interesting how different games deal with story and the way that they tell them. And, you know, I mean, the other things that we can talk about is, you know, how they give you snippets of a story, but not necessarily all of it spelt out for you. So that comes back to that, I suppose, where you get an inkling of what's going on, but, you know, sometimes you have to fill in the blanks. And I prefer that as well.
I think the art of like an open world game is making you feel like a part of a world rather than like the world doesn't, you know, everything doesn't revolve around you. And I suppose you can kind of knock GTA for this a bit because it does kind of revolve around you a little bit. Whereas Skyrim and Fallout, I feel, handle it a lot better. It's like you're just kind of, you're a bystander and you're doing your thing and those people in the distance are doing their thing and maybe you'll cross paths. Whereas, you know, like I said, like GTA and it's a little... Red Dead Redemption was good because you felt like things were random. But GTA, definitely, it just feels like you are the only person in the world that matters and everybody else is just a drone.
So. But I think this is also the difference between something like Skyrim and something like Dragon Age Origins. Because Dragon Age Origins has a very tight, structured narrative. It's quite linear in the way that everything moves. Whereas in Skyrim, it really is a true role-playing game because you play it however you want to play it, and it's your story. You don't have to do the main quest line ever if you didn't want to, and you could still maybe play that game for hundreds of hours. So you can do whatever you want to do. And it's interesting because like I was fighting an ice troll, and them things are pretty tough, right? But I found a little bit of rock that I could jump up on top of and just, you know, fireballs at him and stuff.
And he can't get to me,
but... That's what I would do in real life. If there's a big ice storm, I would find somewhere where he couldn't get at me. You know, why wouldn't you?
Well, first, I would change my pants.
Yeah, because them things are pretty tough. They're pretty tough to kill. And they'll also, this is something different about this compared to something like Oblivion, is they have regenerating health, and they'll run off around the corner and regenerate health and then come back around, they're going to attack you again. So it isn't a lot of variation for AI in that game, but it is a little bit.
And I'll say this too. I know we moved on from Skyrim, but apparently not.
But it's because we're talking about story, isn't it? You know,
they'll give you a quest to do that you're not ready for? Because I went off on this quest. I got it fairly early on. I'm like, well, they gave it to me. I must be ready. No, certainly am not. It was crazy.
But in a way, that's not terrible because once you've been to those places marked on your map, when you're hard enough, you can go back and try again. And they, I mean, Kudmoro on the site was concerned about this because he hated that in Fallout, that he couldn't go everywhere at once. You know, he couldn't go to parts of the map when, you know, he wasn't hard enough to get in those areas or wasn't leveled up enough. But I think
come and have a go if you think you're harder.
But I think they handle it in a better way with Skyrim because I think that, you know, there's enough to do within your comfort zone that you couldn't sort of, you know, there's always plenty to God, there's so much to do in that game.
All right, here's it. Drawing a line under it. No more Skyrim talk tonight.
Enough. So let me ask you.
Now we talk about Deadly Premonition.
Before we move on. So what is your favorite way of a story being told in a game then? Let's just have a quick sort.
I don't know if I have just one. I think it depends. There are lots of different storytelling methods that I have appreciated. I like the Red Dead mode where it's mostly just a movie and you're kind of watching it and doing stuff along the way. But I also like the very, very involved, you get to choose how it's done. Like, I don't know, Bethesda games. I can't think of an example right now, but you know.
Yeah, I mean,
because
I'm not allowed to talk about that, but we have talked about that. Yeah. I mean, the only other one that springs to mind for me is Limbo, because that tells you very little. But
that doesn't even really have a story.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put that in discussion.
It sort of does, though, even though it doesn't. I think it.
There's no story.
It does.
It's got as much of a story as Pac-Man.
Well, yes, maybe, but
Pac-Man has a very deep story.
They meet.
Oh, which reminds me, talking of Pac-Man. Actually, that reminds me of something else. Did you know? I don't know whether you know about this, Duke. It's a very sad week. Very sad.
Why?
Because Gary Garcia has died. Who wrote and sang Pac-Man Fever? You know, we have featured the
Oh, man. I love that movie.
Yeah, Pac-Man Fever, baby.
I'm not even going to play my sad horn. Here, I'll play this. People shouldn't die.
Yeah, we did play this a long time ago, and he was only 63, so, you know.
Not only Pac-Man Fever, but also, like, there was a Donkey Kong song, and then the Centipede Blaster tune.
Yeah. So,
that sucks.
So it is kind of sucks.
Rest in peace, good buddy. Thank you for the jams.
Yeah. It doesn't actually say how he died, but I assume it was something untoward, no doubt, as in cancer or who knows what it was, some horrible problem.
Who knows?
So, yeah, respect, because that was a great song, and we have featured it on the show. And it did get to number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100, apparently.
Hey.
So there you go. You know, it wasn't all bad. So, it's very sad. Very sad. Okay, moving on. Yep. We're going to talk bans. We're going to talk banning, man. Getting people out of there. Banning.
Is this more news? Because I found a news theme.
Yeah, this is more news.
Putting news first.
Nice, we like it. Infinity Ward has banned 1,600 people for cheating in Modern Warfare.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's good, though, because they made reporting people much easier in this game now. Back in the day, I mean, up until now, you've had to go through the Xbox cheating report system, And that's kind of a pain because much the same way as to change your song when you're listening to, which is also annoying, you have to wait for the guide to come up and then maneuver to the right blade and then do this and do that. Now with Modern Warfare 3, it's like, boom, on the list of people, you can mute them very quickly, you can pull up their gamer card, or you can report them for cheating.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So at least it looks like they're going to clamp down on it for a change, you know, because...
Well, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, it's constantly a battle between the cheaters and the admins.
Infinity would have always been pretty weak at that.
Yeah, they have. So it's nice to see that they're taking it more seriously this time. And on top of that, DICE has banned hundreds of cheaters too in Battlefield 3.
Good.
So they're clamping down on it as well. So everybody's banning it. Only hundreds for them.
Beware, cheaters!
Yeah. And they've had all the stats wiped. They've been kicked out of the games. They can't get back on.
Take that.
Yeah. So it's all kicking off, man. But I'm glad.
Next up is Bethesda. They're gonna clamp down on the people cheating in Skyrim,
exploiting the companions.
I said I could talk about it. Damn it.
I question the amount of power that those people have on the Banhammer. Like maybe the power they have is too much quantity.
It? Yeah.
You know, maybe just like
open it. Oh, it's up here. No one means to have
all that power. God, that was a lot of prelude to that very one clip.
Oh, daddy, why? Why won't you hug me? You hugged a mailman.
Okay, before we
why would Miles die?
Before we do our one and only confession,
I don't know, but you know what? At another point in the show, he's trying to show some video clip. I don't remember what the real clip is, but he accidentally puts in this other video, and it's like his mail deliverer woman coming up, and he's like, oh yeah, alpha mode, show me the package. And I'm wondering if like the fact that he has a fetish for his mail carrier lady is related to the fact that his dad hugged the mailman. Could be. Right, enough about my...
Anyway, yes.
Right.
Moving on.
Simpsons Oedipus Complex mailman.
Moving on. Yes, this might take a little bit of discussion. But uh-oh. Telltale, obviously, released Jurassic Park. Now,
quick talk about
the developer compared it himself to Heavy Rain and said it's like Heavy Rain, right?
Oh, my God.
Not Heavy Rain, we're dinosaurs.
Right? Now, it's had a lot of criticism because a lot of people saying it's almost not a game. It's almost just a sort of barely...
But Guillermo loves this
a barely interactive experience.
Oh, this is great! I don't know what accent that was.
I don't know, but it definitely wasn't Mexican.
You made Guillermo de Termo into a Scottish guy.
Skrit!
Skrit! Now, that in itself is sort of bad enough.
Eyes on me hands!
But,
eyes on me fucking hands!
Okay. Now, we've been talking a bit about user reviews at Metacritic. Now, unfortunately, in their infinite wisdom, some of the developers of said game decided to go to Metacritic and post 10 out of 10 reviews in the user review section.
You're joking.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I think there was about four of them. About four of them who were there, either artists or, you know, part of the development team.
You know what, man? You are a tool of Satan if you do that.
Yeah. And this is why I was talking about abusing it, you know. You know, apart from... You know, apart from, you know, the sort of users on there who do the naught because it's not Battlefield or naught.
Because it's not Skyrim.
You know. But this is the funniest thing, right? Everybody's obviously criticizing them for doing tens because it's not, like, realistic because that's pretty biased because it's their game and stuff, right? But they were complaining about them skewing the score and then giving it a naught because they'd done that. But in effect, they were doing the same, but the opposite way around. So they were as bad as obviously the because it's not really a naughty either.
A 10 because it's not a 10.
And neither of them has an objective point of view in any way, shape, or form.
This is why
we pay people to review games.
Yeah, really.
And they admitted it. I mean, it only took, apparently, they didn't take a lot of research to figure out it was them. They didn't really disguise it very well, or they even attempted to disguise it.
Yeah, that was a...
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Oh,
And this is what...
Yeah. I got so wrecked last night. What did I do? Oh, shit. It's coming back.
But apparently it was an interface artist and a cinematic artist who did this. And they were both relatively new employees at Telltale, according to their profile.
Fire. Sure. This is the plausible deniability.
Yeah. And this is what they said.
Oh, we didn't
this
know.
Is what, this is what Telltale released. Right, this is what they said about this. Telltale Games do not censor or muzzle its employees in what they post on the internet.
They don't happen to say anything when people do exactly what their bosses tell them either.
It is being communicated internally that anyone who posts in an industry forum will acknowledge that they are a Telltale employee. In this instance, two people who were proud of the game that they had worked on posted positively on Metacritic on the recognizable online forum and Xbox Live Arcade, Arcade usernames or account names.
I'll bet they didn't start with, I worked on this game either.
No, they didn't. This was the problem.
Well,
the problem was also, they used lots of technical terms in their reviews that a normal user wouldn't. So this was the... I
love how this is such a great game. I love the way the duplex monstrosity of the double-timed thing.
Whoever worked on those
really,
crop shadows
needs
a pie rise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting.
Oh,
but this is what I was alluding to.
That's like us going onto iTunes and being like, this is a great podcast.
It is.
We're just brilliant.
It is, but that's totally unobjective.
But I didn't do that. I did that. This is one idiot shouting down other normal people. See, I do it the other way.
Yeah, that is funny. But, okay, is there any point, right? Let me ask you this. Is there any point anymore having user reviews on Metacritic, really?
Yes.
Does it still mean anything?
Nope.
I'm with
it
you.
It doesn't mean
I don't
much.
Think it means anything. I think it's just completely skewed every time, especially if there's some fanboy element involved in it.
Yeah, but isn't there some fanboy elements and a lot of people who review games for websites too?
Possibly.
Well, yeah, but they're, you know, they're paid to take kind of like a subject.
Not always. They're not always paid.
No, a lot of people, but you would like to hope, as an average, that the majority of them, there will be some outliers one way or the other. You know, ones that will do a negative score just to get noticed. And ones that do
true about fanboys doing the
but they don't. There's no objectivity at all about the sort of the way. Even Skyrim's got some notes. You know what I mean on Metacritic? Because I had.
Well, I'm sure it does.
I had a look. You know, and the way they'd sort of written it, none of them had sort of said anything objective. They just put a note because they felt like it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It is pretty poor.
Yeah, I think it's just... I mean, it's, you know, I think scores on games from websites are not necessarily that good. But I think the user reviews are even more pointless. You know, I just think they're just used as a tool to make a point that's usually not objective at all.
I can't really argue that. I mean, it's true a lot. But I also... I don't know. I kind of like seeing what individual users think. Like, because I'm going to obviously ignore people who give it a zero.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, like I've gone, you know, I'll put reviews up on Amazon or on Metacritic or something. Like if I put a review up on Metacritic for Quantum of Solace because I want people to know, like, look, I know I'm in the minority here, but I really like this game because it's a very straightforward shooter experience. It's exactly what I want out of a shooter. Lots of shooting. And, you know, I sometimes when I read user reviews like that, I'm like, hey, that is what I want out of a game like this. So, okay, give it to me.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think you are right, but I also think, unfortunately, right, for instance, right, just to put it into context, currently, right, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 on the 360 has got a current user score on Metacritic of 3.2.
Okay, I'm not going to lie.
It's got 1,268 positives, 181 mixed, and 2,241 negative reviews.
Haters gonna hate. You can't. What are you?
Yeah, but
do?
Then that this is exactly what we're saying. You know, this almost makes a nonsense of.
Oh yeah, that's true. There's no
of the Metacritic user
but,
score.
But yeah, there's no doubt about it. But I mean, who's looking at those anyway? I mean, is there anybody who's like, I don't really know how to feel about Modern Warfare 3. I wonder what people think.
No, but then
I mean, look, it's the same thing with Rotten Tomatoes. They're Boondock Saints. Did y'all see that movie?
No.
Nope.
Sucks. Piece of crap. Don't listen or don't watch it. But you know, critics hated it. People on Rotten Tomatoes love it. It's got like an 80% user rating. So there are certain things where, even though all the critics hate it, the fact that a lot of people do love it is significant. And I think that should be available for people to know about.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, you know, when it's this skewed, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, Duckman put, Nord, this game sucks balls. I especially love the fact that
that is a strong argument.
I especially love the fact.
Hey, he's going to back it up with reasons. Give
I especially love the fact that they reused buildings and paid for good critic reviews. Seriously, if you're going to even try to make a good game, make it original. Okay. Hellbot66 said, crap, this is buggy and terrible and should never have been released. The biggest waste of money I have ever spent. Shame on the company and shame on this game for bothering to release this waste of a game.
That person leads a very charmed life. If that's the worst waste of money ever, oof. You're in for some rude awakenings in your life, sir.
Okay, here's another one. You like this one. This one's from Raven Atinitid, whatever. And he said this. Same shit, different title. This game gets a note. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 all the way across for some reason. You know what I mean? Are we,
well, if he just puts one, then you can ignore that, but you can't ignore a whole string of ones.
Are we drawing a picture?
That guy who hasn't wasted his money as much as that, he's never paid for insurance.
Yeah, there you go. That's Terry Pratchett, so that's a big bet. I'm just going to bet you that I'm not going to crash my car.
Okay, here we go. One last one. And there is swearing involved in this.
Well, we're a family show.
So you ready? Here we go. Note, okay, from Ali. 17792 or something of that nature. Anyway,
respect.
And he says this. What the fuck, Infinity Ward, you lazy bastards! I paid you over £180 of my hard-earned money, and you can't upgrade this fucking game. You lazy, worthless, pathetic, money-grabbing bastards! You were supposed to be the artist. You should be ashamed of yourselves. How can you even call yourselves developers? Is beyond me. I mean, what have you developed? Shit. That's all. Shit. Well, guess what? Fuck you. and I'm never buying a product with an Infinity World logo on it ever again. You guys are a fucking joke. I want my money back.
I tell you what, hasn't IGN changed?
I would love to hear that person actually calling up Infinity Ward and trying to make that case. That would just be the most awesome phone call ever.
Yeah, and can I just say, by the way, when I've gone actually into the user scores, right, to actually look, it's actually now got 1,866 positive, 252 mixed, and 4,485 negative. And this, I think, is a point I'm making. They should just close it and take it off there because it means nothing. It absolutely means nothing.
Yeah, but how do you decide which games to do that for? And I mean, whatever. It's not hurting anybody to have it, is it?
No, but it's pointless. What's the point of it?
Well, it's pointless for this game, but it's not pointless for all games.
Well, you see, now Battlefield 3, incidentally, has got 7.5 as a user score.
Yeah, because it's the underdog. People support the underdog.
And it's only got 103 negative reviews. Shall we have a look at some of those, see what they say?
No, you know what? I'm sorry. This is cute for a little while, but I think it's time to move on. People don't tune into this so that they can hear us reading out just user comments from idiots on Metacritic.
Just saying, right? Just saying.
Right, your point's been made. Right. Let's move on.
Okay, let's have our one and only confession for this week.
Hey kid, why don't you spill your guts? Tell us everything. Thing.
Everything.
Okay, I'll talk.
Now, this is from Soup Dragon Dan. He has been sitting there patiently waiting for absolution.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, because he has got two confessions, but we have had a lot in the queue. And I've still got my daughters to read out, you know. So for that, bless her, you know.
Damn!
But she keeps asking me, she goes, have you done my confession? I'm like, no.
So that means Soup Dragon Dan is better than Stu's daughter.
He is. Yeah, that's at the end of the queue. Might save it for the live show.
I hope that makes you feel better,
dude. Might save it for the live show. But Soup Dragon Dan, here he goes. Here, are you ready? Now we need to get the serious heads on.
I'm ready.
Evening, chaps. I have two confessions that require your absolution. The first thing is that I have never played any of the Half-Life, God of War, Metal Gear Solid, or Final Fantasy titles ever. I know that a lot of people think these are required gaming, but I just never fancied them.
Yes. Right, let's break this down, right? So Half-Life, he has to play.
Yeah, definitely. Got to play. It's especially Half-Life 2.
Yeah. Half-Life we all 2. Agree on that, right?
Yeah, definitely agree.
Metal Gear Solid is pap, right? Cause
yeah, I don't
want to. And Final Fantasy titles, would you want to play one of those?
Seven and that's it.
Yeah, don't play any of them.
Anybody who tells you that Metal Gear Solid's got a good story, tell them any game where you can shake the boobs around with the 6-axis controller doesn't have a good story, so they can go mad with Metal Gear Solid. What's the other? God of War. That's what God of War is.
It's
kind of
cool.
A good game.
Like, so am I.
It's good. I mean, you should definitely try like God of War 3. I reckon it'll surprise you.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's like required play like gaming. It's definitely a fun time. Half-Life is the biggest one.
Yeah, Half-Life 2 out of all of those, and you'll not regret
it. You gotta give it a go. Especially if you've tried Left 4 Dead and you've tried Portal, right? If you played those games and you liked them, but there's no excuse. You know what I mean? If you tried Left 4 Dead and Portal and you didn't really like them, and then, you know, maybe not, but there's something wrong with it if you think that.
Yeah, I think Half-Life 2, you know, it's a really... It'll look a bit dated now when you play it, you know, but it still looks good. It still holds
it
up
doesn't.
Well.
It doesn't. It holds up. Very
it still
well.
Holds up well. It does look a little dated, but it still holds
a
up.
A little dated, but like it's really. I mean, like it's 6 years
and it
old
plays
now,
lovely.
Much.
It still it's, plays really.
It's so nice.
Yeah, gotta play that. And that's it.
You look at some games that are 6 years old, Stu, and Half-Life 2 holds up
definitely.
Really well.
So for absolution, you've got to play Half-Life 2 really, and pick up the orange box for £10. It'll cost you nothing. It'll cost you next to nothing to buy that game.
Yeah,
cost you now, and then and episode 1 and 2 are really great as well. You know, they're all great games. So yeah, just pick it up. What are you bloody thinking? Now I'm hoping he's played Portal 2, but he's not on his list. But let's hope he has played that or Portal at least. Well, he want to play Portal, will he? But let's hope he's played Portal 2. He'll have to let us know, give us an update. His second confession is this: is that he's a complete coward when it comes to video games. I'm so bad that I've not looked at a Resident Evil title since I abandoned the first Resident Evil on my PS1 all those years ago because some zombie dogs dived through the window and proceeded to tear me to pieces while I screamed like a little girl and dropped the controller. Oh,
he's a firefighter.
Listen, over the last 5 years, I've abandoned Dead Space 1 and 2, Metro 2033, Alan Wake, Dead Rising, and various versions of Silent Hill, all within the first 30 minutes of the game because I have been so cowardly. I await your judgment.
I'll let him off with that one. I don't want him...
Yeah, you know, look, just play Amnesia, man. Those are nothing but they're small fry.
No,
they're small
fry. Oh, man, I was on mute. Dang it, you stole my joke, Stu. That's a horrible sin. You cannot be forgiven unless you play all of Amnesia in one sitting.
You couldn't do that, man. You go mentally yourself. You'd really be great.
Yes, make him go mental.
Yeah.
I want people to go mental.
If you've got on live access to on live, right, I don't know whether there's a demo for it. I think there is a 30-minute demo, you know. Just play, right? To get absolution for that, you've got to play the first 30 minutes of... which is in keeping with all the other games you played for 30 minutes.
And also upload a clip.
Yeah, of you playing Amnesia. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Let's hear you play it.
The first 30 minutes of Amnesia, I think.
He was in the queue for on live. We know he's good.
Yeah, we do. We do. So I think you've got to do that. Yeah, same as me. So that is the confession for this week. So there we go.
Yeah,
we have got quite a few others, so we know people are going, what about mine? Right, we have got a few others, but I do want to save some of the best ones that we've got left up for the live show. And like I said last week, if you've got a confession and you've got Skype and you're around on the 8th of December, so put that date in your diary, 8th of December, and we'll start recording at 10 p.m. for our live show. I want some live people on who have got the guts to come on and actually tell us about their confessions live on the show.
Sounds like a disease. If you've got Skype, talk to us. We can help you out.
So so send me a message, email us, whatever. If you can be around that night and you've got a confession, you want to get off your chest live, because we'd love to have people on to do that. So let's hope we get one or two coming forward to do it.
I have this weird growl.
Yeah, yeah. Look, even if it's not gaming related, we're prepared to listen to any confessions that night, because it's going to be fairly...
No, we're not. Games aren't.
Now, whatever. Look, let's have some confessions, whatever they are, because it could be quite funny. Okay. Yes. We have got some emails, so time for some of those.
Emails.
Whoa, that ruled.
Okay, we have got two emails for this week. So the first email comes from Bongo the Same, or Bongo the Insane, as we like to refer to him these days. Now, he did send an audio clip with it. So let's play that first, and then we'll read out his email.
Login confirmed.
Do you play games on your PC? If so, you need to be at LANmeet 7. Join Joe Ferguson in the most high-tech computer gaming event Ireland has ever seen. Sunday, the 28th of March at Cyber Valley. Valley Leisure Centre's Cyber Cafe. Register now. Call Cyber Valley on Belfast 866-088 or on the web at www.cybervalley.co.uk. Supported by Simple Systems.
Access denied.
Is that a real thing?
That is a, well, was a real thing a long time ago.
And that's like the real ad for
that was a real advert.
Oh my god, that thing gave me a headache. And I listened to like Merzbow and like Crystal
Method.
Now
this took place on Sunday, the 28th of March, 1999. Now he's also sent us some pictures. I will forward this on to you, Duke, to have a look at, but I didn't want you to hear that before we did it on the show, so that's the reason I haven't forwarded it to you. But he sent us some pictures of this huge gymnasium set up with all these PCs, you know, and a great LAN party going on there. And it was his company, Simple Systems, that sponsored the event, so it's who we work for. So this is his email anyway. Let him tell you what it's all about.
He does all right, Bongo.
He does all right. He definitely does all right. And he's called it,
like you, Stu, he does all right.
Like LAN Meet. And a bit of history. Now, it's spelled in a bit of a weird way, because it's LANMEAT, as in, like, a piece of meat. So there you go. Who knows? But anyway, it says, "Hi, Stu. I've been sitting with this for quite a while now, not knowing if it's interesting enough for the show to talk about. But way back in the late 90s, when Quake had really taken off, my IT company, Simple Systems, organised large-scale LAN meets just for giggles and to raise some money for charities. I came across a box at home with a ton of pics, flyers and priceless radio adverts on cassette tape, which played on the largest radio station over here for weeks beforehand. I think we networked about 90 machines at this event, but the biggest was LAN Meet 9, which had about 140. I've attached a radio advert for a couple of pics, It's funny to look back at how big a part of my life gaming has been over the years, Rob. So it's just kind of cool. Now, I've never been to a LAN party. I never ever did that. So I just wondered if either of you had ever been to one.
Well, we know you've never been to one, Stu, because you're married.
Yeah, exactly. So have you, though, Duke?
Nope.
And you've never been, because you're married as well. But I thought you might have done this back in the day.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Probably because I didn't have friends who were into it. If I had known friends who were doing it, then I would have gone. I did used to play Marathon in the computer lab at our college.
Right, so that's about the closest you've ever done it.
It's the closest, but it's not. I mean, that's not like lugging your computer somewhere else to do it with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard of, I mean, I spoke to a guy not so long ago who was like a massive PC gamer. And he was the guy who came, one of the engineers that came to fix me Virgin when it was on the blink. And I got chatting to him, and he was a massive gamer on the PC. And he networked his whole house so he could host LAN parties. And he had, like, computers set up in about six different rooms, you know, with, like, three or four in each room all networked together. So that's all these people playing games all in these.
Single, is
he?
Yeah.
He even put... Yeah, I think he was.
How did you know?
I think he was. He even put one in the toilet. So there was a network point in his toilet, man. In his bathroom.
Oof.
And it was like,
I think you told us about
that.
Yeah,
I think I told you about
it
quite a while ago. But, you know, I mean, Chini,
I think I said single, is
it? Yeah, I mean, you're right. Chini, have you ever experienced this?
No.
You see,
The closest I've ever been to that is, like, three of other of my mates. We set up, like, four Xboxes to play Halo 1. That's like
Although that's cool, because that is sort of a
LAN. That's kind of a LAN party.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
but when I think LAN party, though, I think computer.
But let me ask you this question.
But technically, it is a local area.
Let me ask you this question: how did that differ from playing on live? Now, what was the dynamics like? Do you think the dynamics were totally different when you were all sat in the same room but on different screens?
Oh yeah.
Well, I suppose kind of the fun was we're not used to it. You know what I mean? We wasn't used to having kind of like our own TV without it being split screen and all this. And the other part was just kind of all being in the same room and setting it up, and that was fun. It's just because it was so new.
Let me ask you, where did you get four TVs from?
We just kind of all borrowed. I had two TVs in my house. Like, my Marsh brought over a TV.
So put a TV, was that in a car, or did you just lug it around?
Nah, like, this is before we drove. Like, this is like...
Brilliant.
And like, he only lives around the corner from me. And like, Rob, who
even,
like, was
like carrying a TV down the road to your house.
Yeah, it's literally like around the corner.
Yeah, but it would be a CRT, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be like a flat screen.
Yeah, but it's not like a massive one. Like, it was like only like a little tiny one or something. And then Rob would carry his. And then he lived like a street. He like lived like a street away.
That's just brilliant.
And, like, we just, like, all
well, then,
camera.
Did he have to make... Well, he'd have had to make two trips, though, wouldn't he? Because he wouldn't be able to carry a TV and his Xbox.
I think the other dude carried, like, the Xboxes and stuff like, in a bag, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was funny. He only did it once. It was fun, though. Like, yeah. I guess I can see that Bill doing it. But, like, we was, like, four mates that we all went to school, so, like, doing it at a LAN party with people you don't really know wouldn't be as fun. Like, we all knew each other and thought it would be a laugh because we knew, like, the system could do it. But none of us was PC gamers. In fact, Dean, the other guy, wasn't really a gamer, to be honest. Like, he just kind of tagged along and thought it would be fun. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's a really cool story. I really love that. It's just like...
So that was about 2001, 2002, I did that.
That is kind of cool. But he also, I think, even going back to, you know, when I was taught, you know, I've talked about this a few times, but playing Monkey Island with three or four of us sat in the same room trying to puzzle out the puzzles together, you know what I mean? And I think we've lost some of that with sort of,
yeah, we have,
you know, that intimacy that you had, you know, where you sort of with your mates and you're sort of in the same room, and I'm sure you were ragging on each other and stuff, you know, the time you were playing. And it was quite good natured. I think that's probably a part of the reason I don't really play online that much, because I find it a bit impersonal and a bit sort of, you know, people just seem to, you know, get off and be an arseholes, and, you know, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? And I think you lose that sort of connection. I think they're trying to get it back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it's ever...
That's right. I mean, like, Kinect is probably like a step forward, like, in the Wii and everything, but...
Well, I think that's where the communities like ours come in.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, I was sort of ready to give up on online gaming, sort of, before I found, you know, League of Amateur Gamers, and then I found, you know, some other ones. But, yeah. I think it depends on who you're playing with. It really depends on who you're playing with.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I do think that that is the case. You know, it does make a big difference, doesn't it? Yeah, it's kind of cool. But, yeah, LAN party, I've never done one. But, you know, I feel like I do slightly feel like I missed out that by not just experiencing one just to see if
it was. It's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, I never got that close to it. But, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. I just think it was something that happened at that time because it needed to.
Yep.
And now it's completely irrelevant.
I mean, before Feng Chui got his PS3, I have taken my console round to his house to play games on it. You know, like took it round there. You know, I've done stuff like that, but that's...
That's
about the closest I've got to anything like that. You know what I mean? I've never sort of done anything else beyond that. Okay, next one up. It's called Egg Timer Topics, but I feel that it needs a bit more sort of discussion than that. And this is from Mr. Bed Herdu, otherwise known as Gangu Crimes. And he says just wondering if you're still doing Egg Timer Topics. Can't remember. Anyway, my question would be this. As the games industry has grown in recent years, have you ever considered working in the games industry? As you don't just need to be an artist or game developer writer to work for the video game developers these days. I remember hearing public relations guy from the Call of Duty games, Robert Bowling, creative strategist, telling his story on the GameSpot UK podcast about how he got into the industry. His main role was getting feedback from players. What the hell? Anybody could do that. I understand he gets paid a lot for it too. So I guess there are lots of things you could do working for video game developers. What would you guys do? So he's given some sort of examples, but I thought I'd ask you sort of without reading those out. So Duke, if you worked for a game developer, what do you think you'd be doing?
If I work for a game developer, I could see myself working on dialogue supervision. Like, you know, when they come up with, like, here's the way we want to word this, I'd be like, no, that's not realistic. Change it to this.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. No. So you'd be sort of on like a proofreader of the screen.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to write stuff for it, too. I think that could be interesting. But I worry that writing for games, you know, it's sort of like doing a Choose Your Own Adventure story, you know. And I remember I tried to do that with my brother one time. And it was just like, oh, God, this is so excruciating. Because you have to come up with all the different threads.
Yeah.
Which is something that I think, you know, I've tried to back off a little bit of my criticism. Because it can be hard to do that effectively, writing all the different threads of a story.
And to make them
writing
all,
a story is hard enough. But to write 7 versions of that story.
Ooh. And to keep them all coherent and all working together with each other. And you see, I mean, have heaped a lot of sort of criticism on Heavy Rain, but
because it sucks.
Well, yes, but
and it's not about the fact that they had 7 different versions.
No, but when you think what they tried to accomplish, you know, there was a lot of stuff went into that game. Regardless of whether you love it or hate it, there was a, you know, it was still a feat and an achievement. You know, I think it's still.
Well, in a manner of speaking,
it was. But
by that standard, every time I go to the bathroom, it's an achievement.
Oh my God. But yes, I think we forget. I think we forget how difficult it is to do branching paths in a story and still keep it so that it makes sense, you know, with everything else that's going on.
It's also difficult to have a scene where a guy's running after his kid. No, it's not, actually, because he wouldn't be going, Jason.
I know. We've been through that enough.
Well, you brought it up.
I know. But it also harkens back to Skyrim and when you stumble into a quest you're not meant to
be. We're not talking about that game anymore.
But it's sort of that sort of thing. Where you stumble into that, you're not supposed to.
Oh, well, that's an example of how they do it very well.
It is, but it isn't because you're not meant to see that bit yet. So it's sort of you're in the middle of something that you're not supposed to be seeing.
Well, you shouldn't be going around picking door locks.
That's what you do. That's part of the game.
Well, it's not what I do.
I love the door's locked.
I assume. Oh wait, it's locked for a reason. I'm going to stay out of there.
If you picked a lock in real life, and then you met somebody who, you're not supposed to meet me until you're 43. Go away.
What I think is this. If the door's locked, there must be something good in there. That's my initial thought when I find.
Shit, all bad. I'm sorry to tell you, there's nothing good in my house, but I'm still locking the door.
Yeah, I always think, there's treasure, magic weapons, gold, there's going to be something shiny. That's what's going through my head.
There's a dog with an enormous head.
That's what's going through my head. So, Chini, what would you be doing? If you were for a game developer, what would you be doing?
I don't know, just sticking around and stuff.
Cutscenes. You direct cutscenes, man. You'd be good at that.
I suppose I do like video stuff, you know, maybe directing cutscenes, maybe just working on video content. Making trailers would be a good one. I'd love to make trailers. That's something that I'd love to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm obsessed with it.
Have you read this email, by the way? Can I ask?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Spoiler.
Because I'm obsessed with the Assassin's Creed Revelations trailer. I watch that like probably once a day because I love it so much. And you know, a lot of Dead Island trailer and like that. You know, even the live action ones. You know, like Halo, the Halo Reach. Remember Reach one? Like, and you know, they put that bomb on the ship and everything. I'd love to do stuff like that. Like, so not directly with the game, but like marketing the game, but making a trailer that kind of wants people to kind of go, man, I wish there was a movie. Well, there won't be, so I might as well just play the game instead, you know? Just kind of making them think that it's going to be a good movie when really, you know, making a trailer is so much easier than making a movie. So, yeah, trailers. Making trailers for games. That'd be great.
Hey,
that'd be my dream job.
That would be your dream job.
That'd be it. I'd stop then. So, going to France.
I really don't know what I'd do apart from wanting to play the game. I'd be like, you just give me, let me play the game. That's what I want to do. It doesn't help you at all, but I'll play the game.
You'd be a chief
aesthetic detail
Q&A.
Officer.
Yeah.
Oh, like, doing some more particle effects in that scene of the game.
Yeah. Chief aesthetic detail.
That water's not quite right. I could cook the food for everybody, you know, keep them all filled up because you need the fuel.
Stuart, please stop whining about minor aesthetic details.
Shut up, it's my job.
Yeah, if you're going to be developing the games, right, you need fuel for your belly. So I'd keep everybody out
there. Tell you what, Stu.
Man, more hot packets!
So if we're on a set, like, I'll call you up if we ever need cover.
Sorted, mate. I'll sort you some good nosh. Sort you some good nosh, yeah. This is what he thought we'd do. So he actually tells us what he thinks we would be doing. Right. Now, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Chinny could be the editor for making games trailers. This is absolutely true. This one.
I honestly didn't read that at all.
Yeah. Duke could be the writer. Which I guess is fairly obvious, to be fair.
Yeah,
I guess yours is a little bit.
What do they do now? Okay, we'll say they'll do that.
And Stu could be the games tester. Yep, the graphics are good. There you go. Well done, job.
There you go. He'll guess the
there it is. Nailed it.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well done.
Sorry if you've been asked this question before. Just wondered if you'd thought about it. But I had it and we haven't. So cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was a very good question.
We like that. We like that.
I really want to make a trailer now.
Yeah, you see.
You bastard.
Right, well,
at
this point, it's time to get out of here. So, we've done all the stuff we need to do. And we've talked about Skyrim way too much again. And in a few weeks, we're going to talk about it way, 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 way too much again.
Yeah, you're sick of hearing us talk about it now.
But I will have some other games to talk about. I'm hoping I get Saints Row the Third.
Other games.
Saints Row the Third. Because I feel like that'll be a good go-to game in between playing bouts of Skyrim.
Pick it up, not take it seriously, whatever. I'm hoping that I'll get Assassin's Creed or Uncharted next round.
Right, okay. Okay.
Assassin's Creed.
So let's do shout-outs. So coming to you first, Chinny, shout-outs.
I've got to shout out Aston Villa.
Ah, okay.
Got to shout out. Now, like, the thing is with football and me, right, is I'm not a big football fan, right? But, you know, if somebody twisted my arm like 5 years ago and said, who do you support? I'd probably say Wolverhampton Wanderers because I'm from Wolverhampton. So, whatever. But I've got to share Aston Villa because they are a great club. They do so many good things for charities and they look after their staff and they're very nice people there. So I'm sharing out them. Shout out France because the French know how to enjoy themselves. And they're very nice, spirited people. And yeah, that's it for me.
Excellent. Well, I've got some weird ones. Okay.
Weirder than France and Aston
Definitely
Villa.
Weirder than that. We've been followed, right, on the Twitter by a user going by the name of Ken Rosenberg III. Okay. So I was like, And it's just this weird picture of this dude sat, right, with his finger. Now, the first tweet he sent us, right, and he's only tweeted 25 tweets. He's only following 18 people and he's got 8 followers. So it's like, it's not like some spam thing, because he's not like doing anything. It's very odd, right? And his description is Carson City, USA, right? And he's got lawyer, producer, businessman, entrepreneur, personality, socialite, hustler and janitor, the man who gets things done right. The man who gets things done right, right? So I was like, that's a bit...
He's a busy man.
Right, well, listen, right. So his first tweet to us was this. At Veteran Gamers UK, the world needs more bonkers ambulance chasers, and at Ken Rosenberg needs more followers. Hashtag need a lawyer. Right, so I was like,
"Bam!
Why is that? What does that mean? What does that mean?" And then he put, "Right, now this gets more interesting, because I googled Ken Rosenberg III, because I thought, what is that? That rings a bell for some reason. I'm not sure.
Is it spam?
No. It gets more interesting. So his second one was, "Yes, I'm in Los Santos, although sworn to secrecy as to why. Need a tour guide. This place has changed." So I was like, "Huh." So I googled it. He's a lawyer out of GTA 3 in San Andreas. He's a character. And I was like, how cool is that? So I have no idea who this dude is. But he's got a picture, right? And it's a proper photograph, but it looks just like the character in the game.
That's pretty
and
funky.
I'm like, how cool. So whoever you are, it will be... Actually, I don't want to know who you are, because it's just kind of cool as it is. So if you're listening to the show, it's really cool. So whoever you are, that is just kind of...
Thanks for listening.
And then,
see, we're so cool. We get played in San Andreas even.
That is kind of cool. And then we got one off iPete, and he said this. At Veteran Gamers UK, I've never fapped to a podcast before, but cheers for the idea. But I'll wait till Duke is back, though.
Okay, too much information. Not cool.
Then two people, Johnny Fartpants and Filthy, said at to JSS at Lifelight 40 did a great job filling in for you on the show. So I thought I'd mention those as well. So
yes, well done, Steve Conger.
Thank you for those. And that's it for me. So moving on to you, Mr. Duke.
Yeah, first of all, I want to give a shout out to the person, because I miss playing this for you, and I hope you're still listening. So write in. So shout out to him. Let's see. Xbox messages. Combat Chinos, I don't remember why you sent me a voice message, and I can't listen to it here. But anyway, thanks. Gavlar. He was all about... Oh, what do you think of Skyrim? And I said, I love it. It's awesome. And he goes, oh, a game everyone likes that you also like. What's up with that? And I was like, no way. We're talking about really? I like Battlefield. I like Call of Duty. I like lots of games. And he goes, yeah, I guess you're right.
I withdraw my question.
So, yeah, you better withdraw your question. You're trying to make fun of me.
Yeah, it's true. It is true,
about?
Though, isn't it?
It's not true. It's not true at all. Not even close. I like lots of games people like. I also like some games people don't like, but anyway. Dave150771 gave me a good idea for next time Stu starts in with a story. Johnny Utah said he was coming to the playdate, but I don't think he actually made it. CPM said that he needs to clear out his friends list, and I'm still on his friends list, so I guess that means I'm cool. Oh, yeah! Dave also gave us an idea. He suggested maybe we do a movie night at some point, which I think that's an interesting idea. I don't know. Like, everybody watches the same movie, and then, you know, we have our headsets on and chat.
Well, now and again.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Not like as a regular replacement.
Yeah, like, people don't want to hear us talk about movies. We could.
Oh, no. I mean, he means for the play date.
Ah, like, okay.
Just once every, 3 months or so, like, just do a movie and, just hang out and...
Yeah, we all watch a film at the same time.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea, but a bit weird.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. We kick it around, see what people think. Let us know,
but
folks.
But you'd have to synchronize, like, you...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody, right. Let's play now.
Let's play now.
Right. Yes.
We could all watch comedy and laugh at like slightly.
Yeah, exactly.
Comedy.
Yeah, that would be a big one.
Oh, what are you laughing at?
And then Step J said he couldn't make it to the playdate, but hopefully he'll be at the next one, which is going to be Battlefield 3. We're going back to Battlefield, people, because you need to get off this Modern Warfare thing. I was thinking it'd be cool if we could do a Skyrim playdate, but I don't think that
would
work.
How would you do that?
I don't know, but we tried home. I mean,
yeah, you can't even join each other's games.
No, but you could be like, let's all go explore this, you know, cave over here or something. Jesus, I don't know. Christ. It would be ridiculous and stupid.
Be interesting in so much as we could all do the same quest and see how it differed for each of us depending on what we were doing.
Let's see what's really going on here. Right.
Battlefield 3 next
Duke
week.
Duke doesn't want to get off Skyrim.
That's really what's happening.
Well, that's true. 27th of November, Sunday, play Battlefield 3 with us. It's going to be awesome. And thanks to the people who showed up for the Modern Warfare 3 playday! And we're hearing that sound a lot more because every time your gun levels up, that sound comes
on. So you get it
on.
Every time. Oh, my
anything
God.
Anymore. It's so dumb. It's like, it used to be like, yeah, I leveled up. Now it's like, oh, my gun is level 4 now. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Chinny, Lothian, Bongo, Mike Hardman. Oh, right, Bongo. Mike Hardman, Ian, W99, Major Chavez, although he was only in for about 4 seconds and didn't actually play with us. Oh. And then the new person on Chinny's friends list, Digger9328. I think I got those numbers wrong, but yeah. Thanks to everybody who came by for the play date.
Did you say the Saints as well?
Oh, no, Desaint. I think he came on after I left, or maybe as I was heading out.
Just as you left. Desaint was
right.
On there.
Thank you, Desaint.
Digger wasn't on my friends list, but there's another guy, right? And he sent me a message saying, I deleted someone from my friends list because I found out that he doesn't have an Xbox anymore. And about half an hour later, this guy sent me a friend request saying, listen to this show. I just joined the forums. I heard that you got a play date tonight. I was like, yes, got a play date right now. Join in. And then he went offline. Right, and I was like, "What's going on?" And he never came back online. And I just checked my messages, and he says he couldn't make it yesterday. He had a VV lung phone call, and that's good Elgin. Good Elgin. So shout out to him because he wanted to make it, but he couldn't. So he says he's sorry.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez. I said next week, Battlefield 3.
Is it Duff Stuff 123? Because I think that may be our newest member.
No. Oh, I don't know.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. Thanks to everybody who came. Those who couldn't make it, hope you can make it to
Battlefield 3 next week. It is Battlefield
3.
Battlefield 3. Oh, yeah, baby. Yay. Okay, yeah, before we go.
You thought we were done,
you
people.
You think we were done.
Psych!
But I'm going to get to the reason for my posh accent at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
okay, yeah. And it is down to an iTunes review, so I'm going to read it out. Here we go. So this is from James Myers, otherwise known as Mears. There you go. I'm going to pronounce it as badly as possible on purpose. And he says, love it, 5 stars. He says, not that I'm bitter and twisted or anything. And he says, love the podcast. This is great to listen to when I'm in bed or traveling from place to place, especially on long walks when I get bored quite easily. I've gotten some great advice on games, and the contrasting opinions of them are great, especially Duke's impatience with stealth and Chinny's heart of stone in emotional games.
I don't have a heart of stone.
Oh, yes, you do. Yeah, you don't cry at the end of like, Eco, yeah, you have a heart of stone. Shut up.
Whatever. She should have.
The shenanigans you guys to get up to are hilarious. I was used to tears by Duke's rant on dead money, as well as other soundbite-related banter. But I'm going to be honest. Stu's accent really pissed me off for the first 2 or 3 weeks. It's not the. It's the. No, I'm not entirely sure.
No, it's not. It's there.
There. I don't know what he's I don't know what he's referring to.
It's
you, need a, you need a My Fair Lady type of thing.
You see, what I've never divulged is...
The rail in Spain.
I know, I feel like I need to do that. What I've never divulged is, though, as a kid I had to have 4 operations because of a speech impediment.
Are you serious?
And I really think that's really, you know, he doesn't even know me, you know, saying something like that
he's
is...
Not serious.
He's
awful.
Stop that, you jerk. Man, I was trying to be all sensitive and nice.
But I could have
You just convinced me I need to be more mean.
I could see through him like glass.
Yeah, apparently.
Rubbish. Stupid. But I've gotten used to it more recently. Not sure why. But thing is, right, okay, I've got to put this out there. I can't change my accent. I was brought up in Lancashire, right? My dad was...
Well, not with that attitude, you can't.
My dad was from Wigan, right, where they eat pies and stuff, right? My mum was from a place called Coppell, where they eat pies and stuff. You know, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is, right?
I've been trying to shake my accent for 20 years. Yeah. There I go.
There ain't nothing happening with it. You know, I need to go and live
somewhere. You're working
else.
On it, Chinny. Yeah. Stu's not even, that's fine. I leave it as is.
It is as it is.
you'll be delighted to hear that, Stu. My mate Matt, you know, I've mentioned Matt before.
I am.
He says, you got a good voice for the radio, I reckon. I said, I reckon Stu's got a good voice for the radio.
Well, I think it's, look, horses for courses, as they say.
That's as my dad always.
But anyway, he said, but he still loves us, so that's fine. You know, I'm fine with that. Apart from the four operations.
You've learned to love your accent.
Yeah, the four operations I had as a kid and had to spend months in hospital getting it right.
Yeah, no one cares.
Spent some months in a hospital.
A bit gutty.
Oh, wait. We should do a standard trifecta. Stu's talking about something in a weird voice. Chinny says, I guess, who cares? And that means I have to yell about something. Shut up! Everybody listen to me!
A bit gutted. I've only been able to make it to the Halo Reach play date a couple of weeks ago, but I'm thinking of getting Battlefield 3 later this week, so it could possibly be the next play date. How about that?
That's right. There you go. I had no idea.
It isn't. So you have no idea.
That's cosmic order, man.
Again, love the podcast. Look forward to it.
I don't believe in coincidence.
And to show 98 smiley face. So he sort of redeemed himself at the end, even though he was criticizing my accent, that's which I can't change, by the way. Just the way it is. Get over it.
He didn't to redeem himself, he has to be down. So in my book, he was
nothing to redeem.
Whatever.
Fashion time anymore.
What fucking ever. I've sworn twice this year, and I never swear no.
Yeah, yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah. But one
that guy who sent a tweet about, left the review on iTunes about like swearing and stuff. He never tweeted me back.
You know, he's probably not listening anymore. He's probably going, "Hey, swore so much, Sasha, I'm never listening again."
Oh, they think it's a big fucking joke, don't they?
My delicate ears.
Anyway, so thank you for that, love.
I play this in front of the kids, and it's funny when they learn new words. Yeah.
I will go to finishing school, have elocution lessons, and I will come back and be fine.
Electrocution.
Yeah,
lessons.
Some of those.
That sounds dangerous.
The life of the wife was ended by the night.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane.
The night of the wife falls mainly on the plane.
Oh, this is degenerating quickly, people. Run! Turn it off while you can!
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper.
Dad, why did you bring me to a gay steel mill?
I don't know.
And on that note, we do need to get the hell out of here. So, bye-bye.
No one man should have all bond power.
I got the yellow light of doom. I got the...
Boy, now! Oh, your classic hits.
Nope, we're ending. We're done. Why don't you turn this off and go do something else? Or if you're listening to this while you're multitasking, why don't you listen to something less damaging to your brain cells?
Yes.
Where can I find that whole song? And it, just for the people who, any new listeners, can you just explain where you got that from?
It's off the YouTubes. It's from a show back in the 80s called Why Don't You? Just look it up on YouTube. You'll find it soon enough. Enough.
In my head.
Requesting the song again.
We're out of here.
Yes, we're out of here.
Oh, daddy, why? Why won't you hug me?